1982. Funded in part by a grant from the National Historical Publications and Records Commission at the National Archives and Records Administration. For more information, visit us at PacificaRadioArchives.org. I'm Donna Walker. Thanks for keeping our women's history alive.
Thanks to you.
Thank you for thinking of me.
And I thank you.
And I thank you.
Let's say thank you to all you people out there.
I want to thank each and every one of you for coming by.
And while he's thanking those folks, let me take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners and support staff, our contributors, our interns, the volunteers, producers, and the entire crew that works countless hours to bring WBAI into your lives.
Changed. my people. Now, where are my people? 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 Where are my people?
Sleeping.
Night shift.
Night Shift.
Mondays.
Night Shift.
Midnight.
Night Shift. Night Shift.
It seems to me that the overall vagueness of your memory suggests that we might clarify them a little bit by hypnosis. Would you be agreeable to that?
Hypnosis?
It's a simple process.
The sweet love story.
It's sometimes very helpful in cases of psychological trauma when people have difficulty remembering what happened to them.
Where do I start?
You're tuned to listener-sponsored radio. WBAI 99.5 FM in New York and on the web at WBAI.org. The name of the show?
Night Shift.
Three, falling asleep, falling asleep, falling asleep. Four, falling asleep, falling asleep. Five, falling asleep, falling asleep.
And now in every market, they all sound like me. They all sound like me.
Shut up, man. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Hello, you're on the air.
Anyway, let's get on. Are you ready?
Thing, another thing. That's it. All right.
I have no idea what that was.
I don't know what was going on. It was entertaining, though.
Yeah. Man, you got some karma to pay.
Hey, man, Howard Stern got some karma to pay.
Heavy karma.
Heavy karma.
You don't see him out there helping the homeless.
Yeah, I guess those guys are.
Well, the guy said, no, I'm not helping them either.
Helping the homeless. Who's going to help the homeless? You can't help those guys. They're all mental patients. Help the homeless.
I got to tell you a story.
are tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. I'm Mike Sargent. I'm here with... So how do I identify you now? Like, who are you now? Are you the mystery guest, or have you come full out?
I'm full out, but full. I mean, mystery guest is
you
fine
like,
as well.
You like being... You still like being a mystery?
Of course, because I'm only a mystery here.
That's very interesting. And Chris, is that you? Are you there, Chris? Is that you?
Yeah, I'm right here.
You're right there.
Hey, Chris.
Hey.
Long time.
I'm the mystery guest, too.
Oh, okay.
Chris is the mystery guest.
So everybody's a mystery.
What is his real last name? We'll never know. So Leanne, you heard that was Chris being made fun of by Howard Stern.
I thought the entire show was...
No, it's Chris. It's Chris. He mocked Chris. I heard him mocking Chris.
Chris? No, he made fun of you.
No, he didn't. He made fun of you. It was mocking you.
Okay, one of you needs to go, nuh-uh, just to make this exchange complete and mature.
You know, Leanne, I just realized the last time I saw you, Mike was carrying your groceries.
My groceries?
Just your bags, whatever bags you
had. Oh, wait, I think I'd gone boot shopping, and he's carrying my boot bag. Yeah. From
DSW.
I mean, what's the point of having upper body strength if the gentleman can't demonstrate it?
Oh, he's so wonderful. You know, he carries all my stuff when we're out. Like, I think he can carry everything.
Yeah, this is the dream hangouts that we have. In the deep recesses of his mind.
The mystery hangs?
Yeah, exactly. And yes, and then you are my serf slave. And yes, you are my servant.
Wow.
Yes, he has
12 years
servant,
of co-host.
Servant fantasies, there it is.
I like nothing better than to carry your groceries. I would like nothing.
You
I
want to carry my groceries,
Chris? Would you guys like some time alone?
Yes. He'll carry my groceries anytime.
Yeah. Please. I will carry your groceries. And Leanne, I'll carry your groceries. It'll be no problem.
Well, thank
and
you very much.
He's one of those.
Sexy boots, and you had like a really cool outfit on when we met. You were like really, you know, you were like looking good, you know, you were like doing your thing.
Oh, thank you.
You had a whole thing going on.
Having a thing going on is my thing. I kind of like to, if I'm going to be out in public, I would like to be visually appealing.
I understand.
It's a public service I do.
And you're very funny. You're very funny. I mean, you're funny. Like,
you know, she does other shows. We can plug your other shows since it's on station. What's the other show you do?
I do the Giuliana Forlano show, usually on Wednesdays.
Yes.
I co-host with her, and we talk about politics and culture.
You
and
see?
It's awesome.
She's cheating on me.
Oh, my
goodness. That? You see that? See that? Whatever. You bring her in. Next thing you know, she's on this show.
Yeah.
That show.
Yeah. Oh, you know.
Other show.
Listen to you.
But we'll promote it. We'll promote it.
Listen, Mike and I.
When is it on? When is it on again? Tell us again.
It's on. Well, it's every day, Monday through Thursday, from 5 to 6, and I'm usually on Wednesdays.
Wednesdays from 5 to 6.
I'm sorry, from 6 to 7. 6 to 7.
And so if they listen, they'll find out who you really are.
Well, yeah.
There it is.
You've said my name like 3 times.
Yeah, but not tonight. Did I say it tonight?
You said Leanne. You said, who do you want to be? You want to be the mystery guest? And then you
keep forgetting.
Leanne.
Did I?
That's fine.
No,
I am not hiding from the NSA. I have my own case manager.
Team?
Yeah.
You have your own team.
My own team? Well, no, I have my... Well, I don't know. I don't know if I've been upgraded to a team. Or maybe they are a team and they just have a liaison. Shout out to the lead investigator on my case, I guess, is Special Agent Tyler Johnson. He's my NSA guy. I know you're watching and I know you're listening, Tyler. You are awesome.
But, you know, Mike likes to throw rocks and stones and whatever because, like, you know, we started doing this show and then how many shows you do, Mike, on BAI? How many different shows?
I just did 2 shows. That's it.
Yeah. Just 2 shows?
Just 2 shows.
3 shows.
Are they all 8 hours long like this one?
No. I do 10 minutes on Fridays. I do
Mike
real work. Tell you what
shift.
To go see in the movie theaters. It's on like early in the morning, like 6:45 a.m.
How long you been doing that?
A few months now.
Okay.
I used to do it on once a month. Chris is just ranting.
Yeah, I hear that.
Ranting.
When are we going to get to the movie?
Which movie?
The one he's seen a billion times that never gets any better no matter how many times you watch
it. We were talking about it this weekend. Chris Griffin was talking about it along with Herrera. And they were talking about Prometheus. And
What about Prometheus?
Well, just they were talking about it.
At some point it's going to come up.
What were they saying? Let's talk about it.
What were they saying? Basically, they were saying, you know, Chris Griffin was defending it, and Herrera was, you know, trashing it.
What defense could it possibly have besides Idris Elba?
You need to have a conversation with Chris to even understand that, okay? Because he defends the fact that it is a different, it is throwing out certain canon of Alien. And he accepts that. And now playing with canon is the thing. Because, you know, what's his name's going to do a new Alien film? Yes. Right. Neil Blomkamp is going to do a new Alien film that completely disavows 3 and 4. And it just picks up after 2.
Okay. So, you know what? Then that gives me hope that somebody out there is going to find a way to do Lucy.
Lucy?
That's,
what do you mean, do Lucy?
We do it. It lost its way. Somebody's going to find a way, because the premise is too awesome.
No.
You're going to find a way to pick it up and redo it.
I have to disagree with you.
I know, you know, well, no, you don't have to.
Yeah, well,
you
want
to.
Proceed
at your own peril.
Okay, well, all I got to say is the problem with Lucy is that the concept has nowhere to go. That's the problem. That's the problem with Lucy. Where are you really going to go with it? Where are you going to go? She becomes so powerful, she can control time. Okay, now, in Lucy, the problem is that the protagonist becomes the antagonist. And there's nowhere to go. And you only realize by halfway through the movie that, there's really nowhere to go. Because first act is fantastic.
Yes,
I was totally with it.
I love the premise.
Second act, I'm with it. Yes, yes. And then you start to realize, okay, well, if she just keeps getting powerful this quickly, where are they going to go with this? And then he just said, let me just go full blown.
And I, again, contend that the redo would be that for some reason, while 100% would be the, you know,
ultimate.
The ultimate, she can't get there. She's stuck at maybe 30 or 40 or 50, and then she has glimpses. She has sudden jumps to 80 and then back.
And you see...
So, there's whole storylines there.
That's the only way. The only way for the story to work is if she never reaches 100%. It's the only way for the story to work. Now, you know, okay, you could definitely do that. I mean, watching the film, you hope... That's what's going to happen. As I was watching it, I was like, she's going a little too fast here.
She's going too fast.
Where are they
going
to go with this? And you get worried that, they're not going to do it that way. So, anyway, I do want to say that I have a number of Life is Like Science Fiction for you. I have a number of very interesting stories, things that will blow your mind. And we have a theme. We have an overall theme for the show, Chris. Are you ready?
Make a comment about Prometheus.
No, please. How can I bring it up and not expect you to something?
Well, it was the thing about Prometheus. If the characters didn't make stupid decisions, that's the problem you had with it.
No, I had problems with the character motivations. Their motivations made no sense.
That's true.
Right.
They made no sense. Like, it's like, I buy the concept, but there's stuff that just made no sense.
So if that wasn't present in the film, now look at it and say...
Go ahead. No, please. I want to hear your reference. I got to hear the reference.
I don't have a reference.
You had one.
Answer
your
question. I don't.
I
want to
hear it. Go ahead.
Yeah, we both want to hear it. What was the reference you're going to make?
Well, how would King Kong be without the angry ape? That's what he's asking. Do you know what I mean? That's so what if the characters weren't flawed? Well, then it would be a better movie.
Well, you see, here's the thing. The premise is good. The story is flawed. And now, he's doing 2 and 3 back-to-back, you know.
Is he really?
Yes, he is. 2 and 3 back-to-back.
Like Harry Potter?
Like
7 and 7 plus?
Back to Future, you know, stuff like that. Yes, because they figure, you know what?
They've got us.
Yeah.
Well, they have you guys.
People,
you know. They don't have me. I'm good.
But you got to remember something. This is someone who changed the face of science fiction twice. Twice. Okay? Just coming out the gate. Like second, third film. Something like that. And, so him returning because he left it. You know, whenever he returns, it's a big deal. Especially if he's going to return to his two most iconic science fiction films are Alien and Blade Runner. You know, and now they're doing a sequel to Blade Runner, and he's going to produce it but not direct it.
When is somebody?
I know what it is. I know what it is with me. I have mentally a lot invested in different types of science fiction. One, Alien. 2, Terminator. I have a lot invested in that concept. and that's why I don't. You could just throw out a dog turd of that, and I would be excited. There it is.
I understand. Listen.
So,
I understand.
So is that your veiled reference to Terminator 3 and 4?
Well, they got a new one coming. They redone it, and they got what's his name?
I know.
What's his name?
He's Jai Courtney, who's doing everything now. He was in Divergent. I saw Divergent. He's in Divergent.
Oh, that guy. Oh, who's he going to be?
Well, in Divergent, he's like the bad guy.
No. I know who he is in Divergent. Who's he going to be?
He's Kyle Reese, I believe. Oh, I believe he's
really?
Kyle Reese. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Have they already cast Sarah Connor?
They did.
Damn.
They cast.
I liked Alien versus Predator. I mean, they could.
I did. Actually.
Wow, you really are desperate.
I did actually. It's better than I expected.
Freddy Krueger versus the aliens. I mean, it'd be great. You know.
I want Nanny McPhee versus the aliens.
And she gets some help from those things in.
Ewoks.
No, those little stupid things.
Tribbles.
The yellow thing.
Oh, I didn't see that movie, but I know what you mean.
Yeah. But, you know, what's really interesting is, and Mike had a really good idea for Alien 3.
I did?
You know, he really did. Mike really had a great idea for Alien 3.
I don't remember this, and I'm suspect of you remembering something I don't remember. So go ahead, I'm listening.
Oh, no, all I remember is you were saying that you know, got to pick the story back up with her, and that somehow she winds up, I think you said crash lands back on the planet. Or something.
And we call that alien bad GPS?
No, well, no. That's just, you know, she's having a really bad day. We pick up from the later that day, she thought she got off the planet.
Now, you know what? Supposedly, someone told me that the video game, Isolation, you know about that, what that is, Mike, what the concept is?
I know that there is an alien video game.
Based on Ripley's daughter.
I've heard about this.
Goes to find her mother.
Okay.
And that's when she encounters the alien, and you basically go through the game, and there's only one alien, and you're playing Ripley's daughter trying to find the alien.
All right, and you think that'd be a good movie?
No, that's the video game.
Oh, okay.
That's Isolation.
Okay.
And friends of mine have been playing it for like 2 months now, and they still haven't found the alien yet. But they're really into the game. They love it.
That's, you know, I can't even.
Yeah, I'm just saying. So, yeah.
So, do you want to know the theme now?
Yeah.
The theme is guilt. And yes, it is. And here's why. Because guilt is one of those things, and we're going to talk about it, and people, when they call, they can tell us something they feel guilty about, you know?
Oh, Lord.
And how it affected you. Because guilt is a very underestimated emotion. Guilt can literally render you inert in certain ways, you know? But we're going to explore it a little, and I have something I want to read about guilt to just open your mind.
Is it from my diary?
No, it's not for
you. Did you hack in like Snowden? Doesn't everybody?
I'll just read the title of the article. It's guilt.
No.
Be quiet. Guilt versus responsibility is powerless versus power.
This is it.
All right, who's left?
We have Chicago.
Okay.
This is it.
Oh, that's it.
Take off. Everybody be quiet, please.
I'd like to say welcome back.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yes.
I missed you last week.
Pretty nice.
Where does it play take the Kurt? Gather round the campfire and tell that story.
Actually, at the next thing.
Danny, you're going to have to call back. I'm sorry.
About
2400. You should get bounced to the very next.
Are we going to be giving the uncensored version of what we can't say
on air at first?
Yes, we are, for a premium in January.
I don't know what we're listening to.
Yeah.
I thought it was going somewhere. Sounds like a bad radio program, whatever it was, out of Chicago.
We have to
another time that Howard Stern dissed us.
Wow.
Yes. We were dissed.
And y'all were happy about it.
Excuse me, Michael.
What did you say, Chris?
What used to happen was someone would tape our show and then call Howard Stern and play our show and then call our show playing Stern's reaction to our show on his show.
And you notice I fixed the pitch.
Yeah, you slowed it down, because the pitch was... How'd the pitch get...
Like, you know, it's one of the technical things. It happened. But I slowed it down so we sound like ourselves, as opposed to...
Yourself.
We sound like the chipmunks in the other version. Mystery really guest. Cool.
Did you get the Nixon bit? Did you get the Nixon bit?
The Nixon bit. I'll play the Nixon bit, don't worry.
Leanne never heard the Nixon bit, did she?
Leanne.
I never heard Nixon.
You never heard the Nixon bit.
You know, some of this crap is before my time.
Yeah, it's before our time, too.
You never even heard of Nixon, right? Of course.
Yeah.
Breakdancer?
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to read this to you because I thought it was very interesting. And I do want to say that you are tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. And the name of the show... All right, so I'm going to read this to you. It says here, most of understanding emotional pollution and power. Okay.
Emotional pollution.
Okay. And power. And it says, most of us do not face the perfect storm of emotional pollution, like the chain of events described in his previous post, where an argument with a teenage daughter led to a highway altercation, which led to a young man getting fired from his job, which led to a wife and child being traumatized. Most of our reactive behavior stops short of abuse and boundary violations. Yet how many times have you thought something like the following? If this hadn't happened, I would have... If he hadn't said that, I would have said... If she would have done this, I wouldn't have done that. If only he'd done that, then I could have... The difference between guilt and responsibility is more than the abstract moral distinction. It has a definite psychological reality that profoundly affects our behavior and our well-being. On a gut emotional level, it's the difference between personal power and chronic powerlessness. Our heightened reactivity to emotional pollution has made us view guilt not as a result of violating our own values, but as something done to us by others. Thus, we have the expression like, don't guilt me, and she's laying a guilt trip on me. Because it feels like someone's punishing us by making us feel guilty. We often have an urge to retaliate against those who do. No one felt guiltier about failing to provide for his family than the young man who was fired from his job and then brutalized his wife in front of his child. He blamed them for invoking his guilt, when in reality, he came in violation of his own standards. Likewise, the guilt of the abused mother felt for failing to protect her son caused her to blame him for having to stay with his father and suffer abuse. Responsibility, on the other hand, comes from basic certain compassion with its inherent motivation to improve, appreciate, connect, or protect. As we act on these motivations, we remain true to our deeper values and feel empowered to make the situation at least a little better. And he just goes on to say that in the course of his research on the treatment of domestic violence nearly 20 years ago, he observed many group sessions for batterers and seven different agencies. In the group sessions, the leaders forcefully confronted their court-ordered clients with a full range of their abusive behavior. The clients were not permitted to give any context for the behavior that was making excuses, justifying, and trying to blame the victim. The protocol of the research was required for them to phone the spouses of the group members after each session to see how their partners behaved during the week. More than half the women reported that their guys came home from the group defensive, resentful, and irritable, only to blame them for having to endure the humiliation. Because of you, I have to go to that group and be treated like a criminal. It got so bad that 30% of the dropouts were initiated by the women, by the very women who the programs were trying to protect. I told him to stop going, one of the battered women told us. It was expensive, and it was only making him worse. It took several days after each session for him to get over it. And then it says the group leaders in the study were right in the content of their confrontations, of course. There was no justification or excuse for the abuse these men perpetrated on their loved ones. But the confrontations weren't the problem. It was the contempt and moral superiority in the group leaders conveyed, never realizing that their contemptuous attitudes were contributing to more abuse by increasing the emotional pollution of these men's lives. And he goes on to explain, and I'm almost done here. Now listen, it's pretty good. The group leaders we studied were good people and had the best of intentions to make the world safer. They simply did not see what was happening to them in reaction to their emotional pollution. Not only did they fail to change the abusers by ignoring part of them that they did not want to abuse, they were changed by the abusers in that they too began to think and act in terms of power and control. They tried to control what their clients thought, as well as how they felt and behaved, by dismissing their perspectives and manipulating their guilt, shame, and fear of consequences, which is exactly what the men were doing to their wives. The counselors unwittingly reinforced the abusive dynamic. Along the same lines, researchers who have worked with violent criminals have noted that many play out revenge motives against ordinary citizens for the humiliating comments made by judges during their sentencing. When you demean a violent person, you virtually guarantee that some innocent victim will pay for your indulgence of moral superiority. So, he says, think about this when you're tempted to be rude to a surly waiter, or to lean on the horn in response to an aggressive driver, or when you want to dismiss or ignore, to insult or malign someone you think deserves it. You're contributing, however indirectly, to child abuse, domestic abuse, and other harmful behaviors. At the very least, you're spreading emotional pollution that cannot have anything but a negative effect on you and your environment.
Interesting.
It is interesting. Now,
I'm not sure we have enough time to truly
discuss this. No, but I think we can touch upon it enough. And there are a number of... life is like science fiction. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like... how much of that is excuses?
We see that's just the idea. Like, you know,
just another reason for you to let yourself off the hook.
Well, let's put it this way. What's the difference between a reason and an excuse?
Shall I go to Google?
No, I'm just asking you, your perspective, like, you know.
There is a difference.
Okay, and what's the difference?
A reason has an air of legitimacy.
Legitimacy by you or by others?
Well, see, now you're changing the question.
No, I'm identifying the question. You says an air of legitimacy given by
Then I guess an excuse then is also subjective. I mean, we do have to agree on our terms. I'm assuming you mean the person who is offering either the reason and or the excuse.
All right, so they're self-justification or the justification of society. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
There's only two ways to go in terms of how you're trying to justify your behavior.
Indeed.
Like, you don't want other people to know because they'll judge you, or because you know.
You like your privacy. I mean, yeah.
You have shame or guilt about it.
Right. To go back to what you just read, if one of the things you said in there, at some point I was going, and then he mentioned traffic. And I know how I feel when I get cut off in traffic. You have that, and you're angry. And that anger does not spread to the person that cuts you off. It spreads to the other people in the car with you.
Yes.
You know, depending on how long you carry that feeling, you take that into work.
And depending on how many times you get cut off on the way home.
Right. Right. And then that's the reason why you don't let somebody in the next time they want to come in. Because you're like, well, no, two other people cut me off. But it wasn't that person. But you're still holding on to that.
I'd say exactamundo. Now, let me ask you this. Just getting on the subject of guilt.
We weren't, but okay.
Okay, well, we were. We were. That's where we were coming from.
I reserve the right to take the fifth.
About anything I ask you regard to guilt.
Yes, and I do not need to respond without benefit of counsel.
Okay, well, let me just ask you. Let me make it easy for you.
Oh, which means you're about to make it hard.
Yeah, it is easy. I'll make it easy for you. And Chris, you pay attention because I'm going to ask you the same thing. Okay.
Then ask Chris first.
No, you're ladies first.
Ladies first.
Tell me something that you felt guilty about in your life. It could be when you're a kid that changed you, changed your behavior, and you purely did it out of guilt.
That's a hard one to answer on the spot.
Okay, you can think about it. I'll go to Chris. Chris.
But let me hear it again.
Tell me something where you acted purely out of a feeling of guilt. You did something because you felt guilty. That was the main reason you did it. I felt guilty. So I, you know, bought them a, you know, a bunny.
Yeah, well, gosh, you put it like that. There's lots of things I've done. Lots of things I've done.
Keep in mind, this is only the first question.
There's more?
I'm setting you up.
This is like an SAT?
No, but you answered the simple question.
I'm going to get my attorney on speed
then. No, it's a setup, but, you know, we're just a slow rollout.
What have I done out of guilt?
Yes.
Wow. Some people have built lives on guilt.
Empires. Yes, they have. So that's why I want people, when they call 212-209-2900, you can tell us something that you did out of guilt, something you feel guilty about that you're willing to admit if you want to go there. But just something you did purely, if you break it down and you're honest with yourself, you just did it out of guilt. Not because you wanted to, but you felt guilty. You gave me the side eye there for a second, didn't
you? Side eye.
It was a cock, the head to the side.
I'm not responsible for what my head or face is doing when I'm not looking at it.
This is a disclaimer?
Yes.
I see.
You know how my face is.
Maybe we should stream.
Maybe we shouldn't.
That way the rest of the audience, we could go to stream. We got
a
night shift channel.
Hat.
What does that mean?
See the complete full on.
I'll turn the lights on.
Oh, Lord.
Chris?
Yeah?
Anything you want to admit to that maybe when you were a kid, if it's innocent enough, anything you've ever done purely out of guilt.
Innocent enough? Isn't that describe who you are as well?
Yeah, but let's keep in mind statute of limitations.
That's right.
We had someone on national television confess something they were guilty about.
Yes, they did. Speaking of guilt.
So let's be careful out there.
There it is. Oh, yeah, that's true.
This is true. Guilt, Chris, guilt.
Well,
did he say it out of guilt, or did he say it out of remorse, or was it guilt?
Or stupidity?
Is it stupidity, or is it guilt? Or is it stupidity brought on by a feeling of guilt?
He's an old guy. Maybe it was just brought on by old.
Now that is what they call it when you're prejudiced against old people. What's it called?
Ageism.
That's ageism. Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I did the slow blink, everybody.
She did slow blink, yes.
And not the slow, sexy blink, the...
Yeah, I will take my knife out.
I will cut you.
Yes, exactly.
Slow blink.
So, well, let me ask you this, Mike. Do you feel guilty about pulling my mic down? Because someone just told me that you keep pulling me down.
First of all, let me just say...
At my level...
Excuse me. Leanne, could you just tell me, what do you see here?
Feel guilty?
In terms of these...
I don't know what I'm looking at.
No, look, you see these knobs here?
Yeah.
Where are they?
Right there.
No, wait, excuse me. Where are the knobs?
The knobs are up.
The knobs have been up. I haven't touched the knobs, okay?
Good. Mind you, out of context, this whole conversation is incredibly...
condemning.
Then you won't feel guilty.
I was going to say lots of double entendre.
I don't feel guilty.
Now, here's the interesting thing. My concept in life went from, instead of feeling guilty, I was more worried about the karma.
So, in other words, you wanted to come back on you.
No, I guess I'm saying I learned through life that karma, you know, payback is a bitch, right? So can you say that one?
I don't know. The list is not.
I better not say that.
Well, I don't know about that. It seems like some people don't get payback.
But they could be racked with guilt. They could be racked with guilt. And that is a hell.
We can only hope.
Well, I'm just saying.
Leanne, do you think that that's really the case? Because it's been, I mean, a clear example of that would be, you know, and not to talk about Stern, but Stern didn't seem to pay fun of a lot.
Chris said he had to pay some big karma.
And he never did. His career is bigger than ever. So, I don't know. But I'm not here to judge him.
He's got to get some big karma.
Maybe he has lots of unattractive back hair.
That's a judgment.
Well, let me ask you both. Do you both believe in karma? That's the beginning of the question. Do you believe that there is an existence of karma? Do you believe what goes around comes around?
No.
No.
I used to, but when you really break it down, life happens, and everybody has their fair share of good and bad and terrible things that happen to them, and love and life and loss. That's everybody, and nobody avoids that.
Now, let me ask you a question.
So, would you say fair share?
Would you say you believe in coincidence?
Does coincidence happen? Yes. Am I investing a belief system into it? No.
Good answer. I'm with that. That's a good answer.
You know, I'm not going to build a religion around this, but then again, I need some money, so maybe I should.
So do you think it's a fair share, or how about this? Or is it your viewpoint because of deservability?
What do you mean deservability?
Okay. There is a thing where guilt, the concept of guilt comes from a concept of what has been laid on us in our childhood.
Yes.
In other words, let me give you an example. Some people look at Christianity as he died on the cross for you before you were born. You were born with immortal sin.
Original sin, so, right.
Right. So that's the Catholic or the Christian, whatever viewpoint.
Listen, religions are built on guilt, babe. Religions are built on guilt. How do you keep a population under control? You have to enforce upon them that there are certain ways they should look at the life or they feel guilty. Now, keep in mind, you can be Catholic and have 600 years of the Spanish Inquisition, and that's okay. It's in the name of God. Let me just say.
You could say that, you know, can we use the word African-American? I mean, you could look at you 400 years ago, you should be happy. You know what I mean? What have you done with your life to improve our world?
Making people laugh. What is that?
Ancestry.
Does that help? Is that therapeutic?
Wait,
incredibly so.
You're contributing to society.
I'm saying that the guilt that's laid on every race of people has some type of guilt laid on them that their ancestry has led us to where
we are. You're talking about cultural guilt? The guilt that various cultures and the religions within them will force upon you? Well, of course, yes.
There's cultural guilt.
Don't you feel guilty, Mike? I feel guilty. I'm carrying all this guilt laid on me. Let me just give you an example. When you're a kid, how many times did your parents say to you, we can't afford this? Or I've worked in slaves so you can go to college or you can go to high school and how about our parents laying guilt on us?
But you see, now you're using the phrase he said you shouldn't use.
What's that?
Guilt. You're putting it on somebody else. You felt you weren't doing the right thing when they said that. You must have agreed with them or you couldn't feel guilty.
No, I felt guilty. Listen.
I'm just saying.
I disagree because you can manipulate the feelings of children.
But I have to kind of make
But in the back of your mind, Leanne, you don't feel guilty if you go and spend $100 and you don't have your mother or whatever.
Yeah, I definitely have to justify expenses, I will say that.
You have to justify? Where does that come from?
Not having money? No, I'm kidding.
But I'm saying, you didn't. I mean, we can't afford. Don't ask me again. You can't afford it. That's it. I don't care what the other kids are wearing. I don't care what the other kids have. I don't care if you've got a whole box of crayons and you don't have a 125 pack.
But is that guilt?
Is that guilt or is that just trying to battle feeling selfish?
Well, where the guilt eventually plays into it is they make you feel guilty if you want that.
I have another example that goes along with that. You know, you mentioned religion and it just sort of really opened up sort of the mental well I mean, I was raised Catholic, and I do feel
it's all about guilt.
I have spent my entire adult life trying to recover from that, and I'm not trying to be funny. I mean, last year we talked about this. I had my first vacation last year. Why? I felt guilty.
about taking
time to enjoy myself because I come from a hardworking West Indian family background. When you're on vacation, vacation means you go to your second job. You know what I mean? You don't relax. You work. So I felt guilty enjoying the very thing my parents worked hard for me to have. You know, to go back to religion, you know, being a woman in religion, you are made to feel guilty about your very being, your very sexuality.
Now, I agree with you.
And trying to recover from that is difficult.
Let me ask you this, though. One of the other things he mentioned that was interesting there is that the idea that, you know, you're kind of... you know, not just working from a place of guilt, but you're constantly you've made life decisions based on that guilt.
Folks have gotten married out of guilt.
But taking it a step further, you're used to having guilt, so you kind of build guilt in to control yourself.
Right. You don't even have to have the actual guilt. You can imagine I'm going to feel guilty if I do that.
Exactly. So yeah, you can build guilt.
Yeah,
and keep yourself in a place of guilt. Like you said, you know, I'm working hard, but I can never take a vacation, even though you could.
I could.
But you built in guilt to keep you in control.
Right.
It helps you control your finances.
Eventually, you know, no one has to show you the back door. You just willingly go to it.
Yeah. Or it opens.
Right.
But a lot of things, you know, it's funny. The money thing is like all the sayings, money doesn't grow on trees. Because at any, and I see it more prevalent today than ever where...
Wait, you don't have a money tree? I have a money tree.
Right, everybody gets a money tree when they're 18. It's like, congratulations, sweetheart, you made it, here's your tree.
That's right.
You know, what about Jewish guilt? What about, I mean, the Jewish guilt?
Like every culture has its own brand of guilt. Yes, it does.
And rental guilt, and this, familial guilt.
Yes.
Right.
And a lot of times karma's tied into this kind of spiritual guilt. You know,
but that's why, but that where I would feel guilty, and even I have the same stigma. If I go and spend money, you know, not frivolously, but if I would just to go and extravagantly, you know, whatever, blah, 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 something on myself, in the back of my mind, you know, they call it buyer's remorse. I call it
guilt. We call it guilt. Well, now here's the other thing, though, but let's keep in mind. You know, you have to create, you do have to have some sort of, you know, sure, like Woody Allen says, we are the creators of our own moral universe, but you have to have some sort of ethics and values, you know. You have to decide, I am this kind of person, you know. The guilt comes in when you know better, when you feel you shouldn't be doing something. And is it out of guilt or have you, are you betraying, as he said, your own morals or ethics, you know, and the clearer you are with what your ethics are, I would think it would be the easier to stay true.
Well, sometimes it's not about your morals or your ethics. Yeah. You know, you could be fine with it, and then someone makes you feel bad because of how they feel, their judgment on you.
Well, now we get into the idea of should you be able to let someone make you feel bad? I mean,
If somebody loans you money, there's a good example. When someone loans you money, you don't pay them back. You feel guilty?
Of course you do.
Of course
you do. You feel guilty, then you don't want to face it. Hello?
You know?
Hello? Is it my turn to talk?
Yes, who is this?
My name is Justin.
Justin, talk to me.
When we're on the topic of feeling guilty.
Yes.
So I was just listening.
I think
that anything that stems from money is going to ultimately cause guilt, first of all. Second of all, I mean, you can feel guilty for absolutely anything. You can feel guilty for smoking a cigarette, you know, drinking alcohol. I mean, the only time you can really not feel guilty is by isolation. Guilt kind of comes from an outside source.
But you can isolate and feel guilty that you're not getting back to the people who want to see you.
You could.
You mentioned smoking, and that put on my mind that there could be positive guilt. There are people that say they felt guilty about smoking because of their kids. and that made them stop. So that's, in a sense, good guilt.
Positive
guilt.
Positive view. The power. Now, you see, I'm not identifying guilt as a negative or positive feeling. It's a feeling, and it's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about what causes guilt. That's why I'm setting you up, something you did out of guilt. And often, even in remembering something you did out of guilt, you go right to something maybe you're not proud of. You feel guilty about being guilty, you know, as opposed to the good guilt. Like the answer.
I felt like I had to buy the Girl Scout cookies because I would have felt guilty walking by, knowing that I
was positive for the Girl Scouts.
Of where guilt is taught to you, what guilt represents, what guilt is.
It's behavior control.
All right, now, we're getting somewhere. Now, let me, sir, finish what you were going to say.
Justin,
were you going to say, Justin? You were going to say something more, Justin?
I'm good for now.
Okay.
I can keep going as long as you'd like me to.
No. I just, I didn't want to feel like we cut you off.
You didn't cut me off.
So now, let me ask you, Chris, do you have something in your life you've done completely out of guilt now that we've talked about it a little bit? Something you did as a kid besides the basic, like, you know, don't step on the mouse and crush its head?
And why not?
If the mouse has invaded, he'd feel guilty.
If the mouse has invaded your domicile, all bets are off. It is war.
You have no guilt or remorse.
Mouse in my house?
No, really, no mouse killing remorse.
No.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on there?
Yes, we're talking about guilt. And who is this?
I have a good one. You ready?
Wait, what's your name?
My name is Bill.
Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Guilty Bill.
Bill the butcher.
Kill Bill.
Oh dear.
Listen. You know, I've been saying this on BAI for a few years. I think white people should feel guilty about moving to Harlem, and I'll tell you why. You know, one of the things Malcolm X said in his book was, if you want to help us, stay out of our way. And I think it's just wrong for white people to move into Harlem because it's something we should feel guilty about. It's something that we don't have to do. And when blacks are displaced out of Harlem, they're not welcome into the surrounding white neighborhoods. And that is, to me, the crucial factor in it. That's what cements it for me.
Well, let me just say, it's not just blacks. There are a lot of Dominicans, too. But, you know, let me ask you this. Now, this, you bring up an interesting topic. You know, the idea of when you think people should feel guilty and they don't. Like, you feel that they should be guilty, feel guilty.
They should feel guilty because when I go to Harlem...
As a means of behavior control.
When I go to Harlem, I go to Sylvia's, I have a big meal, I leave a big tip, and I go back to my white neighborhood. Okay? And that's what I'm saying. White people shouldn't move into Harlem because it's wrong.
Let me ask you now. So, do you leave a big tip because you feel guilty what white people have done to black people in this country?
Well, I leave a big tip because they have that great sweet potato pie, mostly. And I knew Sylvia when she was alive. She was so in the original place. But I'm just saying that I just think it's incredibly wrong. And I think white people know better. I think that, and you know, we may not agree with everything that that Reverend, what's-his-name, says up in Harlem, the one that... Reverend Manning, you know, we don't agree with everything Reverend Manning says, but he has that campaign in his church to keep Harlem black, and it's called No Dew Nor Rain. I think it's a worthy cause. I think that white people should support the businesses like I do, but go back to your white neighborhood because blacks don't have the luxury of moving into our white neighborhoods when they're pushed out of Harlem. I think that makes a lot of sense. I'm a recovering liberal, by the way. I'm not a liberal. I used to be a liberal, but I'm, you know, that's another thing Malcolm X said. He said they were the real racists. You know what I mean? They tended to be the most racist liberals, you know?
Well, let me ask you a question. How far back did you want to go? Did you want to go before Harlem was black, or did you want to go before, you know?
Well, they got black when we all ran out. When they showed up.
I'm just saying, like, you know, how far back do you want to go? To Native Americans in New York? I mean, how far back?
I'm just saying that Harlem got black when white people did white flight. So why reverse it?
Well, you know, I clearly have a lot of feelings about this because I live in Harlem, and I've seen it's surreal. You know, it's a very surreal experience, and it's like, you know, what happened down in what the area they used to call the New Yorican part of New York, near New Yorican Poets Cafe, and the East Village, and what happened there in the late '80s, early '90s, and you know, it's the same, pretty much the same thing. But, you know, a couple of things I'll just say, that there will be no ghettos in Manhattan, period.
But can just, I just say one thing?
Period. That's, that age is over. Yes.
So Harlem is the capital of the black world in a lot of people's eyes, and I think that we should respect the integrity of that. That's what I'm trying to say.
I can't argue your point.
And I'm sorry to say that to you, because obviously I'm preaching to the choir, but I just think more white people should be conscious of that. That's all I'm trying to say.
Well, you also bring up an issue of class, too, because I did meet a woman, older white woman in her, you know, late 50s, early 60s, who told me that her kids were gone and that, you know, they graduated college and everything, and now she and her husband, or maybe just her, I don't even know if it was her husband, but she had sold her house in Long Island to buy a place in Harlem. And I'm like, when did that happen? When did that become like a retirement plan? I'm going to retire to Harlem, you know?
And what was she? What was she?
She was a white woman in the late 50s.
I have a friend who I played music with, and he went into Harlem.
Surreal.
He was in a building in Harlem a few years ago, and a white woman stopped him in the building and said, "What are you doing here?" Now, he was wearing a suit and a tie. Mm. And he turned around. He called me up. He was upset. And this is a guy who never got upset about anything. And he told me what happened. I said, "Why don't you tell her off?"
Wow.
He said, "Man, I isn't that sad?" She stopped him in Harlem in a building and said, "What are you doing here, sir?" I mean, you know, in Marcus Garvey Park now, they call the cops.
Listen,
the white tenants call the cops when they party. They want to change the name of Marcus Garvey Park. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Well, he's talking about the drummers that were over in Marcus Garvey Park. They had been there for like over 20 years. Drumming, and all of a sudden white residents show up and all of a sudden the drumming is a nuisance. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a cultural thing. And I think what the caller is alluding to, and he brought up an excellent point, is that it's not so much whites moving into Harlem, it's the arrogance of the white skin privilege.
That's why I say it's a class issue. It's a class issue.
Yeah, I mean, because I've been living in Harlem all my life. In fact, I don't know how much you know about Harlem, but I was born in Sydenham Hospital. That tells you how far back I go.
Mm.
And so I've seen the changes over the years, the good and the bad. And it's this attitude, like white people, they come here, and I'm not saying it's every single one, but a great majority of them come with absolutely zero humility. And I guess they figure because they have white skin, they don't have to be humble. When black people move into white neighborhoods, you know, we're always concerned about fitting in, not ruffling any feathers, not causing, you know, any disturbances, because we don't want, you know, to be seen as outsiders moving in. But when whites move into Harlem, it's just like, "I'm here. Roll out the red carpet. What are you doing in my neighborhood now?"
Yeah, and can I add to that? You know, I live across the street from Mayor Bloomberg's house, and that's so white, it's not even funny. I mean, they had Miles Davis and Cicely Tyson living in the building on 86 on the corner where Geraldo lives now, that 585, whatever that is, where the governor lives, the Spitzer. Miles Davis lived there with Cicely Tyson after he sold the house on 77th Street. But other than that, I mean, there are like no. If you Google 10021, I mean, there are no black people. Well, it is the whitest zip code in the universe.
All right, but let me just say this. I mean, now we're kind of getting into, you know, discussing the obvious. Like, there are obviously many areas of Manhattan that are primarily.
Well, I mean, I could say the same thing that I got priced out of my studio in New York because all the buildings around me are selling for $10 million a floor. You know what I mean? It's just, and I agree with you. The whole city and everything is...
That's gentrification.
It's just, it's all insane. It's just, basically, it's not even just white people, it's just money.
Well,
money is going anywhere
it can
in New York.
Administration.
You know?
Yes.
It's just money, 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 money. And New York is dying because, you know, there's going to be no culture left of any kind in New York.
Well, I think, if anything, whites should feel guilty about raising the property values and the tax values to the point where people who have been here for 40, 50 years, even mm-hmm. if they own a brownstone, mm-hmm. the property taxes are so high now because of the gentrification, mm. it's like they're struggling just to pay their property taxes.
Right.
That should be shameful.
So rising tides do not lift all boats. That's a social myth.
So do you think Bloomberg feels guilty? I mean...
Excuse me? I couldn't hear that.
No.
Bloomberg feels guilty?
Why would
Of course not.
Money insulates you from that.
Of course not.
From guilt.
Right.
What's the guy's name on that show, Shark Tank? The one with the white guy with the balding hair and all he cares about is money. What's his? I forgot his name.
I don't watch the
Does
show.
I don't know who I'm talking about. I don't watch the show.
Well, anyway, his famous quote is that the only thing that talks to me is money.
Wow.
Oh, there it is. Greed is good.
Then he fits in. You know what this reminds me of?
What?
I was discussing this movie with someone this weekend. The movie Far and Away with Tom Hanks and Nicole Kidman. And they lost me, I guess, in the first 10, 15 minutes of the movie because they were homesteading and they were building their home on this free land.
Yes.
And I'm sitting in the theater going, that's not free land. That's stolen land. Yeah. But the entire, I mean, it was such a blasé, throwaway premise.
Yes, yes.
You know, and they go on to the real important facts.
Did you ever see the
movie
Australia?
No.
They completely erased the whole, what they did to the Aborigine people.
Wow.
Like, not even in there. Anyway, but yes. You know, and in Oklahoma, the same state where they had the SAE incident. Oklahoma, you know, there's a law in the books now that they're trying to pass to ban AP social studies because it... When you study that, it portrays America in a negative light, and we don't want our children to know the true. I mean, they're not saying that, but that's essentially what they're saying. So can you imagine banning a history that delves into reality?
That's like not teaching German kids about Hitler.
Well, it's exactly. It's like, oh, okay, so it never happened then.
It never happened.
You know, and I've met people who've definitely met white people who've been like, you know, so why, you know, let me just ask you, Mike, why black people, why'd they just get over it? You know, there's a president, there's millionaires, there's black, there's Michael Jackson. You know, so I've met that person.
Get over it.
Yeah, like, oh, please. And I've heard that. I've heard it a number of times.
Racist,
anyway.
Race is more prevalent than ever. I will say it is
a
the
scary.
The aliens show up.
It is
when
a scary
future.
When the aliens
show up. I mean, I'm talking about an extraterrestrial. When they show up, then
you
everybody...
mean illegal aliens?
No, I'm talking about the alien, space alien.
What about aliens? I'm interested now.
Now he's interested. When aliens show up, then everybody will realize that we're all one race, but it'll be too late.
We're all one race.
So
I can't
wait.
It'll be like
so
we
wait.
Were all one race.
So you want Independence Day, but what we might get is District 9.
Exactly. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Yeah, who's this?
Hey, how you doing? This is Will. You know something, man?
What?
Just in the 90s, when gentrification was coming in, the end of the 80s, when Bill Clinton showed up here, I knew that was the beginning of the game.
Mm,
and
yeah.
Then Bloomberg got in, got the real estate lobby in his pocket.
Mm.
But here's the deal. If you remember, a lot of black folks in Harlem and in Brooklyn and all of the black enclaves was talking about how I got out.
Mm.
I got out with basketball. How I got out with this. They had no sense of home, no sense of community.
Yes.
They bought into people telling them that what they had was worth nothing. Where they lived was worth nothing. They bought into all of that nonsense. They all were trying to get out instead of bringing what they achieved or what they did back to the center and benefiting everybody there. You know, all of the intellectual prowess they took out of the community and took it somewhere else. All of the financial, you know, investment they took out, you know, they were going to look for things other places, man. You know what I'm saying? So when...
I know what you're saying. You're right.
Yeah, just like jazz and rock and roll and blues, we throw it away. They pick it up. So what's new?
Well, I wouldn't say we throw it away. I just say that they pick it up and they...
Well, we don't buy it no more. We don't honor it. We don't honor it. How many people you see at an old rock and roll concert? Most black people on stage. You know, the doo-wop concerts, they're on stage. How many people you see at a blues, you know, blues and jazz? You know, we into something new because we create that fast.
I would also argue that there could be a generational difference into, as you know, who enjoys that type of music, as well as the cost of a concert ticket.
But there's always a generational difference. There's always a change. We got to honor what we got and keep it and make it worth something.
I agree, but
all the time.
I want to add to that.
Gold doesn't lose its value because it goes through generations.
This is true, but that is what is unique about black people in this country. You know, the average African American. What's unique about them, as opposed to the Chinese, the Italian, the Irish, the Mexican, the Puerto Rican, you name a culture that's here in this country, they have a rich, deep culture that they can easily identify with. They may have a language, they may have food, this and that. We have a very much more a recent culture. What we have stronger than anything is a subculture. We have a subculture in replace...
Hold on, Mike, hold on.
Can I finish? We have a subculture in place of a culture. So as a result, it is always of the moment. That's what, you know, we end up changing the culture we're in, so we have to invent something new. And part of the problem is that, you know, and this is why black historical films don't make money, is a lot of black folks don't want to look back because they have guilt or feelings or negative feelings. They don't want to see that. How many black people tell you, I don't want to 12 years of sleep, I'm tired of seeing that? Not that there's been that much, but that's the feeling. They don't want to deal with
their
past.
It's also painful.
Exactly. So as a result, that's why the popular culture, the subculture, is so strong, because we don't want to look back. We don't have that rich gold that we're coming from that we can look back and say, oh. And the things that we did do, okay, you know, I was watching, I had some DVD they sent me for Black History Month, and the things that we did do, we weren't taught. Do you know the reason we wear shoes today is because of a black man? He was the first one to figure out how to create the automated stitcher for shoes, because up until that time, only the rich really had shoes. And a number of inventors tried to come up with something so you could mass produce. It always had to be a cobbler. You had to drop your shoes off or have them made for you, then trace your foot, all that. It was because of a black man that you are wearing shoes today.
Wow.
Now, wouldn't
I thought it was because of DSW, but all right.
But imagine as a young black kid learning that, learning how a black person could have influenced, you know, with the stoplight. There's so many different examples, but learning that, you know, yeah, we may have Black History Month now, and there are a few, they trot out the same stories.
Same stories.
But there's such a deep, rich part of our culture that because we don't want to look back at the pain, we've never, you know, we didn't know all this other stuff's
there.
Well,
here's the thing. Unless you say it, you assume everything was invented by some white guy. Point it out, like, nah, that was some brother over on 86th Street, or this was some sister in Chicago. You know, then that's the danger of racism. That's the danger of embedded generational, you know, cultural racism. The default is you think this is when it was invented by dominant culture, unless you say something different.
Listen to me. Let me tell you something. Like I said.
And you also assume it's male. So that's a whole nother aspect.
Yes, it is. I'll never forget when I was in college, this girl, you know, I went to Parsons, you know, so I had, you know, kids from all around the world and different neighborhoods and whatnot. And, you know, we're all artists. And I remember this girl I was friendly with at school.
How friendly?
Well, I'm just saying we're friends. Okay. She was from Boston or whatever. And this is well over 20 years ago. And she said to me, you know, because she'd never really had black friends growing up, wherever she grew up. And she said, can I ask you a question? If black people aren't inferior, how come it's always been that way? And that's her perspective, that we were always in some inferior position. Like, if it's so...
Wow,
and she
speaks
meant
that, the lacking it, of her historical education.
Well, again, coming back to what they're doing in Oklahoma, you know, like the fact
if
that...
If you don't know, you don't know.
Well, that's just it, but there's a lot to support a belief that is
yes,
wrong.
Absolutely.
That's all I'm saying. So, Chris, are you still there? What'd you say, Chris?
You know, I'm right here. Leanne, it's Tom Cruise, not Tom Hanks, by the way, with Far and Away.
Did you say Tom Hanks?
I didn't mean Tom Hanks. I'm sorry. It was Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. They were still married at the time.
That was Ron Howard.
Was it?
Ron Howard.
Dude, it was. Look, I'm not going to take away from it's the beauty
sculpt
of
and
it.
The beauty of the film.
It was wonderful, but again, couldn't. I'm like that. The whole movie, I had attitude.
Oh, you're right on.
My arms are folded,
right,
and my lip was in the corner. I'm like, this is stolen land.
No.
There's blood on that grass.
This was discovered land. So it's like, if I see that Cadillac over there, I could discover it. Like Columbus did. I could discover it. Oh, look at that. Yeah. I discovered a Cadillac. See ya.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying.
But, you know,
if I were Columbus,
you have a very good point. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, there's just a lot of inequality that exists even today.
as to, you know, who invented what, who's done what, where people come from, and stuff.
And it's not new. It's not new. I mean, if you study history, you know, you think it, you go back 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, 1,000 years. I mean, this is who we are. We're not evolving fast enough.
Yeah.
But you would think there's an arrogance to modern day. We have all this technology and all this ability, and we have more people, you know, reading and writing and thinking. And you would, so you would think we're above it and beyond it, and we're not.
Even in the concept of, you know, Jesus, was Jesus really white? You know what I mean? I mean,
They're doing something on CNN, discovering Jesus. And I saw a clip. I'm like, they have not yet discovered that he's black?
No.
How are we discovering him?
You're
and that hasn't happened
it.
Yet.
It's, you know?
He looks vaguely Hispanic now. Is that progress?
I find it
he was played by a Hispanic in a movie. That was a big deal.
Was that Ricardo Montalban?
I
will follow that Jesus.
Stop.
I will follow Khan Jesus.
That, you know, Egypt is trying to redefine how, let's say, they're looking at how the pyramids and all these were built, and they don't want to call that they was built by the slaves of Egypt, or, you know what I mean? Listen to me.
Let's just be real. There isn't a culture, a massive civilization that was not built on the backs of slaves of some kind. You go without, with the exception of Native Americans, okay, and certain, you know, South American cultures. You look at all these major cultures, and they were built on the backs of slaves. All this construction and, or you could call it indentured servant if you want. So, I'm with you, Chris. I'm with you.
No, I just find it so interesting. You know, what the first caller was saying about, you know, New York is changing so dramatically now that it's scary.
It's very scary.
It's not for regular
people.
No.
It's almost like Oz. You know, what are they going to start painting it green? You know, it's just like, I don't know. I
will say, you know what's the most disturbing thing about the whole SAE thing?
The fraternity
that was singing.
Oh, yes.
And then the old woman. But what's disturbing about it to me, the most disturbing part is that these are young people. This is the future generations. These are not old, stuck in my way, Negroes.
They're grandparents.
These are not. Right. These are kids. These are 19, 20-year-olds, educated, privileged. You know,
quote unquote.
Quote unquote. Exactly. And this is. You know, that along with, I don't know if you know this documentary that just came out recently called The Underground, about the I don't know if you know about the epidemic of rape that's happening on college campuses. Right,
oh yes.
Now. And the cover-ups.
Well, is it an epidemic of rape or an epidemic of the discovery?
No, it's not an epidemic of discovery.
That it's been happening.
No. It's increasing and it's being suppressed. Okay, and that's what's really disturbing. But I'm just saying all that to say that's what's really disturbing, that we're bringing up a generation of young, racist, sexist, you know, it's disturbing to know that there's still such a large element of this.
So we are going to sit here,
yes,
and be shocked.
No.
When we, you know, slash the budgets of education.
Oh.
When we teach to the test.
Yes.
When we inundate our young people with certain images in social media and in media.
Of course.
And then be surprised at the product that we get.
Listen.
If you can stop
teaching children that the country did anything wrong, period. Right. If you can, that's the law. You cannot teach real history.
Well, that's the proposed law.
Yeah, but think about the fact that they want to propose that law.
I don't even understand that.
That's what I'm saying. Think about the fact that they want to propose that law. Think about
afraid of that the kids are going to defect?
Well, that's...
It's not that easy to become a citizen of elsewhere.
Listen, if you realize
they're going to feel bad about themselves?
Well, they might feel guilt. But, you know, if you realize wrongs have been created, you might maybe not make those mistakes again. But if they never happened, you can go blissfully onward and repeat the past without ever knowing that it was the past.
And thus we get men on a bus singing songs.
What's happening that's really bizarre. I've noticed
a song that's been around for generations, decades old song back when they did lynch, you know, black people. So go ahead. But we have a new caller there.
What I'm noticing, yeah, let me make this point real quick.
Okay.
What I'm noticing in a big way now is just Yahoo as an example. Yahoo has their website, and basically they put a lot of news on there. And in between like four or five news articles, they put an article in there that's an ad. So it's an ad that if you wind up clicking on it, you're actually on an ad, not an article. But anyway, the people that are writing for Yahoo are not, I don't consider them vetted writers. In other words, like a New York Times.
Oh, come on. It's not another level. It's not a level. As a matter of fact, you look at a lot of these sites, they don't even have listen author.
Right. But now the generation that's growing up today, right, the kids today are accessing, they're on Yahoo. They're reading these articles that are half written, that are like completely just, you know, giving a biased.
There was an article in an online magazine called The Thinking Woman or Thinking Women or something like that. And it was lambasting Michelle Obama for being first ladylike for going on Ellen DeGeneres and dancing. What?
That's unladylike?
I don't have to go into the race or background of the person who wrote the article, but I'm just saying, you know, you're frowning because, right. Yeah, it's frownable. It's definitely like, okay.
It's a non-issue.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, was she working?
Exactly.
Let me just clarify.
Exactly.
I need some context. Was she working the pole?
No, she was showing that she likes dance and thinks it's a great exercise and, you know, had fun.
So
on
Ellen. There was a reason, there was context, it was a decent show.
The quote from the article is, Barbara Bush would never have gone dancing on, you know.
Okay, and?
Okay. You got to read the article.
Right.
I'm a little offended by it.
You think?
Again, you have people that have access to that. They see that opinion, and you wonder why.
I'm just underscoring your point. Now, listen, the lady who's calling, what's your name, ma'am?
Roz.
And what did you want to share with us, Roz? Do you have some guilt you want to tell us about?
Yeah, but not really.
Okay. Well, you can use a fake name. Change your name, and then nobody will know.
Well, it's too late for that, isn't it?
Not really, no. We erase it from our mind.
You could be talking about your friend.
You're Deborah. Yeah. Deborah.
Yeah.
Deborah.
Okay, Deborah, yeah.
Yes, Deborah, okay. Tell us your guilt.
I think I'm guilty of not knowing enough of my history because you guys have covered a lot of history. I'm guilty of not speaking up when I see certain injustices happen in front of me. Maybe guilt in taking responsibility for certain things, like... too much. That would be it. I'm guilty for not knowing enough of my history.
Well, I appreciate your candor.
Very welcome. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Roz. And Roz, have you ever heard the show before?
Oh, my God. I love your show.
Oh, really?
I love your show all the time.
Oh, so you've been listening. How long have you been listening?
Let's see. I'm going to say I'm in for about a year and a half now.
Oh, good. You'll start hearing voices soon.
No. What? I'm going to go crazy?
Yes, you will. Yes, it is called the night shift sickness.
Can I share a comment? Someone messaged
me. Yes, please. Yes, I want to hear.
They tuned into the show. And this is from the gentleman who did my headshots several years ago.
Wow.
Awesome photographer. I love you, Jeff. He said he tuned into the radio show from Mississippi. Because, you know, you can get the show online.
WBAI.org.
Or TuneIn Radio. You can also get it there. I know some folks are listening through that. They let me know. And he said, great job, all of you. Nice discussion and good points made by all. And then there's a smiley face, which means he definitely means what he said.
Is that what a smiley face means?
Well, I'm just editorializing.
Okay. No, I like that.
Shout out Mississippi.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. I don't know why you're in Mississippi, but be safe.
Yeah.
Was that wrong?
Don't go out with a hoodie and
you have a valid point.
Skittles.
Well, dude, I live in New York. Somebody should tell me to be safe. My evening could end in a chokehold.
Oh, Michael. Oh.
Hey, you know what? You never know anymore.
Unfortunately. Well, you are tuned, by the way, to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI, 99.5 FM in New York. We're on from midnight till 3 a.m. It is now 1:27. March. It's still winter.
Yeah, why is that?
But we're hoping it'll let go.
St. Patrick's Day tomorrow. Woohoo!
St. Patrick's Day right now.
We're in St. Patrick's Day, babe.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, if you go out tomorrow, you can have some fun, you know.
You're allowed to.
I'm allowed to have fun tomorrow?
On St. Patrick's Day, you're allowed to have fun.
Wow.
You can have fun guilt-free.
Yeah.
You know what I love? I mean, St. Patrick's Day, you know, everybody's walking around.
Redheaded guy.
Yeah, she can go ginger picking.
I can go ginger picking. I love it. I just love this vibe that we have in the city. You know, everybody's running around. You know, today we're all Irish. And I'm just struck that nobody ever says that during Black History Month.
No, but they do it at some of the fraternities. They have parties. They call them jungle parties.
Uh-oh.
Even you read about them?
I have, but I've tried to forget them.
Yes.
With the help of my therapist.
Our youth.
Okay, don't say
America. America.
I'm sorry,
America.
Roz. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I
you don't want to own it.
No. I'm not saying that. I refrain from saying the youth, because I remember when people were saying that about my generation. You remember when people were saying that about your generation?
No.
And I remember being offended. You know, like, we're not all like that. Why can't they see that that's just a few and that most of us are good?
I'm not saying they're all like that.
But there is a time when you don't know. And to blame them for their youth and to make them emblematic of all young people is a little unfair.
I am not making them emblematic of their of youth. I'm not making them emblematic, and I'm not blaming all youth.
Because if I'm going to sit here and go, oh, those damn baby boomers.
See, I didn't say that. That's not what I said.
But I'm just saying, if we're going to play the generation game.
No, I'm not playing the generation game. I'm saying that there's too many young people that are thinking this way and doing these things. That's what I'm saying. That the future is not looking as bright as I would like it to.
The future's so bright,
that's what I'm saying.
I gotta wear shades.
Oh, well, I'm glad. I want to take your perspective.
I'm just, you know, bringing it back to the 80s.
You're just using catchphrases to throw me off the track?
I am.
I understand. All right, so... we're going to get to the healthcare because I have my own healthcare issues and stories of the recent weeks. I will tell you my healthcare, and we will get into some.
Well, I think I cut Roz off. I want him to make my little soliloquy. Roz is still there.
Roz, you had a point you still wanted to make. What was your point, Roz?
I was just saying, you know, for Black History Month, the whole thing is that we're all African. That's where we need to start. Everybody can trace their DNA back to Africa.
I think some folks just got scared hearing that.
All of ya.
You know, I'll take it even deeper than that. You know,
deeper.
Yeah, listen. Can we rally around our own humanity? Can we do that? You know, 10 fingers, 10 toes.
There you go. And it all started in Africa.
Yeah.
That's it.
Hello, you're there. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Yes, it is BAI.
Yes, I'd like to say a few words...
about guilt?
On the station, hello?
Yeah, what do you want to tell... What's your name, sir?
Well, my name is Nigel, and I just want to say something about the Irish people saying that we all Irish and what's what.
Oh, wow.
This is a very serious thing here. We got to watch what we're saying, because the Irish is the main ones out here, both of them and the Italians. The one who's out there doing the shooting and killing and brutalizing the Black people now.
Are you talking about the police? Are you talking about the police?
Or yes,
the Irish people in general. Okay.
And the Irish people on the whole too don't even give a hoot. They don't come out and they don't say anything regarding the police. They know who's doing it because the names, the Irish names and the Italian names.
Well, let me ask you a question. Wait, sir, but you don't want to do what Leanne just said, where you kind of generalize all Italians or all Irish on the unfortunate perspective and views of some.
No, but there's far too much going on. They are the main ones out there doing it. And unless we pinpoint these people out...
And then do what? All right, so we pinpoint them out. And what do we do, though, sir? What do we do? What do we do to the Irish and the Italian? What do we do when we point them out like, yo, get over there?
What do we do?
What do we do?
Speak about it and let
people
know. who's doing this thing out here?
And then what happens?
You know.
All right, wait. All right, so let's say you, sir.
You got to get out here and let the public
know.
Not the Germans or the Russians.
All right, okay. He's not going to let me enter. Hello, you're in the air.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, who's this?
Artie.
So, Artie, you have anything you want to say about guilt?
About guilt? No, I was just listening to what you said. I want to go to what you said about young people earlier when you were talking about the generations and some of the things.
Leanne was talking about the generations.
Well, Leanne was talking about the different generations, some of the things I know, like in the university recently. What I thought about was, to me, we like to think that every generation is better than the other, and I think a lot has changed, but
we'd like to hope that we're getting better as we evolve. Yeah.
You think?
Each generation evolves to be better than the first. We hope. I mean,
but
you know.
At the same time, I watched that on some of the other things that have happened. Also, too, a couple of years ago, the movie The Hunger Games came out. Reading that there were people who were blind to talk about the movie. And they were just going off on certain characters in the movie. The black characters.
Yeah, there was a black little girl who was black in the book, but a lot of people didn't realize they imagined being white, and then they were offended, and they didn't care much about her. But, all right, so make your point. I'm with you.
No, I'm saying it was that. I remember a couple of years ago, I think Prince Harry or one of them put on a Nazi uniform when he was in college. Mm-hmm. I think it was. I think there's a part that don't realize or don't care. There are people who actually remember this, and that it's not funny,
well, not
or
if you
it's
don't
not
teach
something
it in school,
trivialized.
Then, you know.
Also, you know, and what they said about the hanging thing, the group a week or so ago going on video.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've been talking. So, sir, you got to come to a point, though.
No, like, that's
I'm with
that's
you.
All
you're
I was
painting,
gonna say.
You're painting a picture, but you got to come to a point.
No, that's it. I just think that there are a lot of people who say things on video. Or online, go
and they
online
just
and
are
say things.
Just
they don't
oblivious.
Realize or don't,
oblivious. I'm with you.
Yeah, they think that no one sees them.
All right. Well, thank you.
They're not realizing the consequences of their actions.
Well, they don't have to. Hello, you're in the air. All right. Hello, you're in the air. Hello. Hello.
Are you in the mood for a compliment?
Me?
You.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah.
Always, yes.
Oh, well, no.
hold on, let me get my...
You're great.
I have some folks who are listening. My very funny colleague, Joanna, she's listening at work. Thanks, Joe. And she said, who is that sexy voice man with you?
Well, yes, it's me.
There it is.
Here.
Yes.
Thanks a lot for making me feel...
That's right.
Now I feel guilty.
And who's that crazy person in the background?
Well, she didn't ask me about my sexy voice either.
Hello, you're in the air. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, who's this now?
Hey, you guys are pretty cool, man. I like your show.
All right. Well,
thank you.
Not bad.
We do what we can.
Can we all go out on St. Patty's Day and get all drunk and not get judged and everything?
Hey, listen, guilt-free fun
and
on St. Patty's Day.
And not get judged? I don't know.
Well,
that's part of the fun.
Depends on how far you go, though. You know what I'm saying? You know, you can get drunk.
You guys bring up a lot of good topics and everything. It's kind of like going round and round a circle like a feather in the wind or something like that. Mm. Very mystical and everything.
Mystical. Yes.
Where do you think we would go and everything? What's going on? What's going on around here? Is anything new happening in today?
Yes, as a matter of fact, there's some new identity. Now, listen, do you like wine, sir?
Oh, my God, do I like wine.
All right, well, Leanne has some fascinating new information. You have two pieces of information on wine. We have the latest wine facts. Go ahead.
Is it blessed wine, though?
No, it's blessed wine. Well, you can bless it yourself. Realize that. Listen, if somebody can put a curse on you,
we don't mean sneezing.
You can lift the curse on yourself, and that means if you can curse, you can bless. So everybody can bless, everybody can curse. You're doing it all the time.
How do you curse and bless?
I could tell you that later. Yes, you can. You
can
curse. That's right. That's right. You can curse and you can bless. All right, go ahead, Leanne.
Sure. Do you have... I flashed you both of these. Which one did you...
Whichever.
I like red.
Ladies'
choice. Whichever one suits my fancy. Mm. All right. We will do this article from Science Daily.
Flash me.
And, yeah, of course we went there.
Go
it's
ahead.
Night chips. A compound found in grapes, red wine, may help prevent memory loss.
I knew it.
I'm going to go buy a case and take it home to
my
parents.
Matter of fact, I knew it, but I forgot.
Because you're not drinking enough red wine.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
This is out of Texas A&M University. A compound found in common foods such as red grapes and peanuts may help prevent age-related decline in memory, according to new research published by a faculty member in the Texas A&M Health Science Center College of Medicine. Ashok K. Shetty, PhD, a professor in the Department of Molecular and Cellular Medicine and Director of Neurosciences at the Institute of Regenerative Medicine. That's a lot to fit on a business card.
It is, but you get small type. Go ahead.
I guess so. Very small font size. So font 4. This person has been studying the potential benefit of resveratrol. Did I say that right?
Resveratrol.
Resveratrol.
Yeah, we've had it here. Joe takes it all the time. Joe's been taking it. That's why he looks so young.
Masiri,
yes. He takes resveratrol. Go ahead.
Really? Get it in, how does he take
Chris,
it? Pill form?
He takes it in pill form. Chris does, too. That's why he doesn't really have a painting. He just takes resveratrol.
Why not put some wine in a sippy cup.
Stop.
I mean, I don't...
Stop.
Okay, sorry.
No. Get back to the story.
Resveratrol. Okay. It's an antioxidant that is found in the skin of red grapes, as well as in red wine, peanuts, and some berries. So we've just knocked out any generation
That's
under
right.
the millennials because they can't have a peanut. They can't look at a peanut jar without falling out.
Basically. Because you know what? When you're drinking wine, you're getting better. So go ahead.
Alrighty. That's what I want to say at work from now on. Resveratrol has been widely touted for its potential to prevent heart disease, but Shetty and a team that includes other researchers from the Health Science Center believe it also has positive effects on the hippocampus, which is an area of the brain that is critical to functions such as memory, learning, and mood. You know, red wine always improves my mood.
Yes, it does.
But I actually
and you
drink
remember
it,
that you felt good,
Well,
too.
No, here's the thing. I actually drink it not to remember, so I'm a little disturbed by this study.
Make sure you're having a good time.
I got to take the good with the bad.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because both humans and animals show a decline in cognitive capacity after middle age, the findings may have implications for treating memory loss in the elderly. Resveratrol may even be able to help people afflicted with severe neurodegenerative conditions such as Alzheimer's disease.
About that, we're not at middle age yet, but when we get there...
Middle age is a relative term.
That's true. Because if you're 50, then that must mean you're going to think you're going to live to 100.
Well, it's not about what you think. I mean, I guess you have to look at
Middle age a state of mind?
Well, if that's the case, I was middle-aged in second grade.
There it is.
I was a very depressed 7-year-old.
Well, I'm still waiting for the difference between a reason and an excuse, though. I'm waiting
middle-aged for a rock star is 27 because most of them aren't getting past 60.
No, that's not true. Come on, look at the original rockers, man. He's like 70-something now.
Right, you factor out plane crashes and they actually kind of live.
That's right. Like you have a doctor administer your heroin. You know what I'm saying? You got money. All right, so go ahead.
You're not paying attention to everyone that's been dying. What's name from Toto just died today, the bass player. So, 59.
He's not 20.
Toto.
Last week, 63 was the keyboard singer from Creedence. So that was last week. So, I mean, I'm just saying that.
Well, he did a lot of drugs. That's the problem.
If 27 is middle age, then 64 would be,
That's it. Tom, you stay there. Don't say anything. Finish, Leanne.
All right. In the study published online January 28th in Scientific Reports, Shetty and his research team members reported that treatment with resveratrol had apparent benefits in terms of learning, memory, mood, and function in aging rats. All those rats. The results of the study were striking. Shetty said, they indicated that for the control rats who did not receive resveratrol, spatial learning ability was largely maintained, but ability to make new spatial memories significantly declined between 22 and 25 months. By contrast, both spatial learning and memory improved in the resveratrol-treated rats. You know, I'm just picturing a rat sitting there with his glass of wine going,
No, going, I'm a control rat.
Garcon.
That's right.
More wine.
I'm a control. That's what I am.
Isn't that what we all are, really?
Yeah.
Shetty said neurogenesis, the growth and development of neurons, approximately doubled in the rats given resveratrol compared with the control rats. The resveratrol-treated rats also had significantly improved microvasculature, indicating both improved blood flow and had a lower level of chronic inflammation of the hippocampus.
All right, red wine.
So
every
when
night.
You're drinking wine at work and your supervisor said, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I am reducing the chronic inflammation
exactly,
in my hippocampus."
Exactly.
Don't make me report right. you to That's my human resources rep.
Exactly. And I'm going to be better at my job.
And I'm going to remember to report you.
And I'm in a good mood. Don't ruin it.
I'm in a good mood.
Don't ruin it. So.
Is that how you talk at work like that? Yeah.
Well, when I have enough wine, I do.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Checking on you.
But see, but now this, other countries are doing this better than we are. When I was in Italy, Italians had wine with lunch.
Mm.
Now, they didn't go red wine, you know, because we know you still have to function when you get back to work, but they had a glass of wine.
Mm.
You know, it felt like a much more civil.
I'm having a glass of wine right now. There it is.
Well, who's not? You know, it felt like such a much more civilized way to conduct one's adulthood.
Yes, it is. It's more civilized.
Okay, perhaps not the way you're doing
All right, it's more civilized.
Wow.
Is that better?
That was just for my friend Joanna, right? So she can hear you be sexy voice man.
Joanna.
Oh, yeah, Joanna.
It's much more civilized to have wine
with lunch.
Girl, you owe me.
Joanna.
All right, let me finish this story. The study provides novel evidence that resveratrol treatment in late middle age can help improve memory and mood.
Chris, there's hope for you.
Stop that. And mood function in old age. The study was funded primarily by the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine at the National Institutes of Health.
Complementary and Alternative? There's an Institute for Complementary Medicine?
It doesn't mean free.
Oh.
Sorry. I like the background music that reminds me of Carlos Nakai. Very, very nice. Very nice.
This is Thomas Newman. This is from the second best Marigold Hotel.
Thomas Newman from before. You know,
he's got that percussive numerical progression thing. Yeah.
A little while ago, I was like, that's Thomas Newman.
Yep. Go ahead.
Oh, that was kind of it.
That was it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, when you get down to who funded the study.
That's true. All right. Well, just read the title of the next one before you get into the next one.
Can't we talk about Joanne, your friend? Can't we talk about her, whatever's going on with her?
You want to talk about Joanna?
Okay, she's funny yourself.
She's very funny. She's a comic. She also works for Transit.
Mm.
She has an awesome show, a monthly show called Laugh Tracks.
L-A-F-F?
L-A-F-F, but Tracks spelled the traditional way with a C-K-S. And she does it monthly, and I'll be on her show, I believe it's April 24th.
Wow.
So I got a plug in.
Digging Mike scene. She's digging it.
She's digging. Well, who doesn't dig the Mike Sargent scene?
Who doesn't dig the Mike Sargent scene? I can see the commercial.
Yeah. And the t-shirt. You want me to read the title of the next article, which is, again, another shout-out to wine.
Yes.
I don't know why we're not all drinking wine right
now. We should be
drinking wine. Putting wine in baby bottles.
Wine in baby bottles.
Do you remember when that was popular?
No.
Are you serious?
I was not part of that group.
Drinking alcohol out of baby bottles? That wasn't you?
That was not me.
Okay, son, let's go to the videotape.
You'd be on the cover of Yahoo. You would be like,
can I get a word in now?
Yeah. Sure, why not?
Yeah, well, like, it's only our show.
We'll just let Leanne read the headline and then you can get a word in.
Right, just to let you know that there's more good news attributed to wine. Actually, the title says, another reason to drink wine.
There
it could help you burn fat.
Look at that. You're getting smarter and thinner. Just sit there and drink wine.
Wow.
There it is. And you're in a good mood, too. As you're burning fat, increasing blood flow to the brain, and making your heart better. Come on.
I'm going to be sipping on the treadmill.
You should be ordering wine, red wine, by the case.
I'm going to have the pancakes deluxe and some red wine.
I had a friend who had a theory about eating. He says, you can eat anything you want as long as you have raisins right after. All right. So, sir, you had something you wanted to add. You wanted to say something.
Which sir is this? Who are
the
we speaking
on the,
with?
On the air. And what's your name, sir?
Are we still talking to Artie?
No. Is this Artie? No.
No.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Is it me again?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Tony in Brooklyn.
Tony, Tony, you got a really good phone, Tony. Let me just tell you that.
Yeah, all right. Thanks.
I thought he had a good voice. So we're going to say good phone?
But okay. Listen to how good that clear that phone is. That's like amazing, Tony.
You're jealous.
Like
what is that, digital, Panasonic?
The digital line you got going?
No, it's a landline. I'm old school.
I hear you.
Landline.
Nice. You sound deep and resonant.
For people under 35, right, that's so Tony, a phone that actually runs a line into
your
house.
I got
a
landline.
Yeah, all right. Well, we're going to get to you in a minute, sir. All right, so, Tony.
Yeah.
You going to tell us something about guilt?
Yeah, something about guilt. Years ago, someone told me something, and it took a while for me to catch up. But they said, like, you know, it's an interesting human dynamic where guilt is concerned. And the scenario is like, it's relatively easy to injure another human being. But it's, like, 10 times more difficult to acknowledge the injury and then, like, apologize. And they went so far as to say, like, you know, you might step on somebody's toe. And if you don't immediately stop and, like, apologize or whatever, like, you'll realize you injured this person. And, like, you might see them 2 days later. And you would rather kind of, like, duck around a corner and hide out than to, like, actually have to confront the person knowing that this injury took place. And you never really, really kind of, like, confronted the whole incident.
And, well, yeah, go ahead.
You know, and when you apply that to, like, to history, we can look at injuries that were suffered by one people at the hands of another people. And really, do you hear the people responsible for the injury, especially in the form of a government, coming up and publicly confessing, yeah, you know, we did this, you know, foul thing.
Hence the banning AP history.
Hence the no reparations.
Yeah, you know, and it's I'm not even going to get down to it's a black and white thing as much as it's, like, I said, an interesting human dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Where it becomes difficult to openly and sincerely apologize for an injury.
Why is that?
Well, I'll give you my theory on that. My theory on that is that in some ways, being immune to guilt to a certain extent is part of our survival mechanism. Okay, and I'll cite one of the things about living in New York. Okay, if you move to New York, especially if you don't live in New York or if you came from another place, you especially not as much today, but it's still out there. One of the things is you get used to homeless people. You get used to people sitting on a street or whatever, asking for money with a sign or whatever, or coming through the subway car or whatever, begging for money. And maybe your first inclination, the first time you see somebody like that, is you give them money. But eventually, as you see more and more of these people, you can't be giving out all your money all day. So you have to become immune to human suffering.
Inured?
Immune. You just ignore it. You ignore this human suffering. You find a way to block that out. You find a way to look the other way when the guy is saying to you, hey, man, can you have... You find a way to justify not helping this person out, to not ever see yourself in this place or ever needing it or having any sense of karma, like Chris says. So you become immune to it. And part of it is you know, survival. You know, you don't want to be stressed all day thinking about the fact that you didn't give the bum on the corner money. So you learn how to block it out. So that's my theory. I think that it's also part of the human condition to just block out what's unpleasant. I think, you know, when the people have a horrible thing happen and they block it out, you know, to allow them to survival mechanism. It allows you to function. And I think that, you know, it's part of human nature to not want to, you know, be in pain from guilt or whatever. Wow. So that's my theory. I could be wrong. It's just my theory.
I don't disagree entirely.
All right. All right now. Sit back now. Relax. Let your mind unwind. Let the cobwebs and fog slip on out of your ears and slide on down your shoulders.
But before we go any further, I want to know how's everybody feeling? We'll be right back.
Show.
Night Shift.
The feeling you're having.
Night Shift.
It only happens here.
Night Shift.
Where life is like science fiction.
Night Shift.
In the groove there for a minute there. Who else is here on the air with us?
Hello?
Yes. Is this Tom?
Tom from the Bronx.
Tom, you got something about guilt you want to tell me?
Yeah, I want to say there's a
you
guy...
You feel guilty for calling the show every week?
There's a guy in China who wishes he could be in the St. Patrick's Day parade tomorrow. And he just can't make it. But he is green because he ate snails along the river that had a lot of pollution, and his actual skin turned green.
Tom?
There's a true story.
Tom?
Yeah?
You're like science fiction, just so you know. Do you know the phone number here, Mr. Giss?
No, I don't.
212-209-2900. You can call, join in the fun, tell us about your guilt, tell us about your feelings. Tell Chris that you like his voice. Hello, you're on the air. Hello? Hello? Like people,
hello?
They're not sure that they called. Yes, hello. Oh,
can I turn my radio off? Hello?
Yes, sir.
Can I turn my radio off?
Yeah, you should turn your radio down.
Yeah, hello? Yeah, turn my radio off?
Yes, it's hello. Yourself. You're listening to echoes of yourself. That's a good title for the album.
All right, 1 minute.
Echoes of myself. All right, so, yes. And what's your name, sir?
I'm anonymous.
You're anonymous. I like that.
Hi, anonymous.
You've written a number of books. All right. So, and what do you want to say? You have something to say about guilt?
Oh, guilt, I would say, is a form of imperfection of a person saying, or people saying that they're not callous about someone else or what they did to someone else. Put it that way.
So you don't believe in the whole positive guilt concept?
Right. For instance, Prince is the color demonized in black. Bad guy always got to wear black. Why is that?
Because he's a man in black.
No, I'm saying, like, they always say, oh, his dark side. Oh, my God.
All right, but you know you got to do more than just kind of state certain things we know. You got to really bring it home and have a point. When you have a point, it's better for the listener.
Now, I hear what you say.
Okay, so I'm with you. But you gotta, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, for instance, like, to start with the cartoon for the kids. This color is good, this color is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Then it becomes subliminal. Like, you just walk down the street, you know, you see a person of a different shade, and you're a good shade. You say, well, let me get away from that shade. They planted it in your head even as you were a kid. And we're still doing it today. With the cold shades thing. Even around the world, you turn on any, watch any cartoon, for instance, you see the color shade syndrome. That's what I like to call it. You have a good night, Mike.
Thank you, sir. All right. I listen to you. You're in the fall. All right. You have another story, don't you?
I do. Did you?
We'll come back to the one, but you had another story, another interesting story, I thought.
Sure.
And then some interesting stories that I really would like your opinion on.
Yeah, there are.
I want to shock you
there
with.
Some ones that I might be
of
unfamiliar
course,
with.
Of course, I need to get
did
that.
Did you want the owl, the jail
the
story?
The owl, yes, I like the owl story.
And wow, this owl, surprising as a man.
Keep in mind, the owl had no guilt.
No, she was just taking care of business. It was nothing personal.
Okay.
Headline, everybody. Sexually frustrated female owl killed male because, quote, his penis was too small.
Damn.
Just saying, fellas, if you're going to come with it, you better come with it.
Damn.
Because there will be consequences if you're an owl.
Exactly. They get all owl. They don't let your woman get all owl on you.
This
all right,
is
go ahead.
The dark side of Harry Potter. The fussy female dubbed the Black Widow turned down the advances of a wannabe lover after she deemed his genitals unsatisfactory.
I deem your genitals unsatisfactory.
I love this article. Some birds want the whole package. None more so than a particularly demanding snowy owl in Poland who killed her new boyfriend because of his tiny penis.
Damn.
The bird, listen, you gonna step up.
I'm sorry.
The bird, nicknamed the Black Widow, left her suitor half eaten, shocking vets at the animal shelter in forest.
And then half ate him?
Listen, if you can't serve me one way, you gonna serve me another.
Damn.
Park keepers had noticed the owl was unhappy and decided to pair her up with a new mate. Apparently, it is the owl version of Match.com. But just 2 days after arriving from Germany, they found the new owl devoured and killed it. Oh, sorry. They found the new owl devoured and dead. Shelter spokesman Robert Connewall said, quote, the first 2 days were fine, aren't they always? And then they seemed to get on very well.
Mm.
We were horrified when we then discovered she had killed him. Yeah. Is that the understatement of the year?
We were horrified to find she killed him, merely because he had a small member.
At first we couldn't understand why, but we took the remains to a vet who, after examining him, found that his testicle sac and private parts were underdeveloped.
Damn.
Don't nobody bring me no bad news.
Maybe that's a maternal instinct, because, you know,
maternal?
Birds... Yeah, because birds will kill the young that they know won't survive. And
so
she could... Maybe she was like, I'm doing you a favor. I'm doing you a favor, honey. I'm gonna kill you, because...
She was a cougar owl, and they brought her a youngin' that wasn't right?
There it is.
Underdeveloped.
They found that his testicle sac and private parts, his entire nether regions, were underdeveloped.
That's a good name for a band. Underdeveloped owl testicle.
In other words...
Live.
He wasn't a suitable lover, and we assume that after failing to perform, she killed him, probably out of frustration.
They're known as the UOT.
So she wasn't about the cuddle. She was not about cuddling.
She was like, you better bring it, I'm gonna kill you.
That's a lot of pressure.
All right, go ahead.
Owls are rough, man. I've seen owls in action, man. They're rough, man. They're up there doing their thing. They're rough.
She half ate her partner?
They hang out. You know, they work at night. There's like hanging. You know,
they work at night.
Yeah.
I work at night. Uh-oh. I guess I'm about to kill somebody.
She's a new superhero. Owl lady.
The snowy owl is beautiful but also brutal. And we have nicknamed her the Black Widow, they said.
Have you ever seen a black owl?
You see what I'm saying? See, you ain't never seen one of them. There's white owls.
He's not making sense.
I also won't get out much. The zoo confirmed that they are now looking for another snowy owl.
Preferably with larger genitalia.
To be provided. But so far, other facilities were reluctant to accommodate the request.
Yeah. Well, said they're going to find Bubba, the owl.
They going to find the Forrest Gump owl?
Yep.
Okay, Jenna.
Forrest Gump owl, that's what you said earlier. You said Tom Hanks was just far and away. Far and away.
Wow. Yeah. Connell added, quote.
Yeah, that's not my joke. Somebody texted me that. I'm sorry. I'm going to take credit for that one.
She may be a bit fussy, but we're sure there's another owl out there who will meet her standards.
You see how it is? Owls out there looking for other owls.
Female owl.
Wow, that's a lot of pressure.
That's heavy.
You imagine that conversation? So, when did you and your last boyfriend break up? I ate him.
That's right.
That's right.
She's like, show me what you got. Well, what do you mean? We just met.
We ain't
got
to do dinner in the movie, son. Just drop them. What you got?
Tyrone.
Exactly.
Tyrone the owl. I know. You ain't going to beat him.
Hello, you're on the air.
White owls.
Yes. Who is this?
It's Tom again.
Tom, you had something else you want to add? Tom.
The story about the guy who turned green in China is true.
It's Tom. I really never doubted the authenticity of your story. What's the phone number here? Did you get it? Did you catch it?
Yes, I did. The phone number here is 212-209-2900.
What was his name? Wasabi?
Tom is gone.
That was funny. Did you catch that, Leanne? His name was Wasabi.
Here, silly man.
I caught that. His name was Zabi. You didn't get that? I got that.
Not at all.
Karen Green, the 8. You know what's the name.
But those who got it. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
throwaway stuff. Some people get it. Other people don't get it. I make a lot of jokes people don't get.
No, you haven't made a joke tonight. You used to be funny.
I used to be funny.
I listen to the old
just
show,
like Woody Allen.
You ain't funny anymore, Mike.
I'm not funny.
Funny. What happened?
I don't know. I got middle-aged.
I'm only kidding.
No, I ain't.
All right, so Mr. Guest, you had another story there that was also interesting. I think
I have tons of stories.
Yes, did you want
the women's prison story?
Yes, this is a story that Chris will like because I see this is like a Roger Corman movie.
Is it quick?
Yeah.
I like it.
You know, I want points for restraining myself from jumping in on the obvious joke.
I give you credit.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
No, let it out. It's not a joke. You know you're funny.
Yes, but you know that ship has sailed. That moment has passed. Suffice it to say, I have saved you a trip to your therapist, sir. I'll take half of whatever you were paying her.
Wait, do you really see a therapist? Do you?
Not right now. We haven't been able to get our schedules hooked up. But you know, there's a new service. I read about this, I think, in the Journal or the New York Times. Well, you could do therapy by text.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Email.
That's what Mike does.
Email
Mike
and text.
Therapy by text. Yeah.
Does he really?
Wait, if I could make money doing that, I'd give a lot of therapy via text.
No, I send you texts and then you give me therapy back. You do that now. It's very cool.
Hello, you're on the air.
Some people call that dating.
Hello, yes. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yes, and who is this?
Marilyn.
Marilyn, okay. Nice name, Marilyn. And did you have something guilty you want to tell us?
Hold on, let me turn. Okay.
Okay.
Something I'm guilty about? I don't think so, not right now.
All right, that's good. You're living a clean life, Marilyn.
I've only been felt a bit guilty sometimes when I've passed people by who asked for something and I haven't given it. I didn't give it to them and then I realized I should have given them. But the thing is, I make a practice of giving regularly to people, you know?
Mm-hmm. So you don't have to.
So then I know when I've reached my limit, like, you know, I can't afford to give any more now.
Mm.
Or else I will have to start begging myself.
I hear you.
But you know, I must tell you that your delivery and your lovely co-host there. Both your deliveries are hilarious, well, especially about the owl. I was laughing so hard. I couldn't continue doing what I was doing, which is making gift bags of recycled chip bags, you know.
What's a chip bag?
Chips and Indian channa,
bags for women.
Yes, I'm really serious about this recycling business.
Okay.
I'm a recycling fanatic from teenage. Anyway, you know, you
have to. Mike is very serious about recycling. He is.
You are?
Yeah, Mike, tell her about all the recycling you're doing and stuff. She's interested.
Listen, no one that's known to know about my recycling.
No, Mike, so don't recycle.
Chris, take your medicine. All right, so, man, what did you want to say?
Well, I just wanted to say that. By the way, that guy who keeps butting in, well, I know he's fucking your show.
Who you mean, Chris?
Yeah.
That guy who keeps... Oh, I'm going to make a card out of this. It's Mike Leanne and that guy who keeps butting in. Yes, I love him. No, or you mean Tom from the Bronx who keeps calling?
No, not Tom from the Bronx. By the way, why did you ask Tom from the Bronx if he felt guilty for calling in so often? I think he has interesting things to say. In fact, you know,
you're a fan.
He's much better than Monroe. I won't say may he rest in peace because
he was
I'm not religious at all. And speaking of earlier, someone was saying something about blessing. I have this friend from Tobago, you know, Trinidad and Tobago, the Twin Islands. She believes that bless you is something someone tells you just before something terrible happens. And I find that really does the trick. It is true.
What does the trick? Let me see if I'm grasping this. What are you saying?
When someone says, bless you.
Oh, bless you. Okay.
Uh-huh. And it's right before something terrible is going to happen to you.
Okay. That's slightly superstitious, but I'm with you.
I don't think it's superstitious. It's just... I don't know. It's very religious, you know.
Okay.
And yeah.
To many people, that's the same thing. You know, you realize that.
Uh-huh. And anyway, you make me laugh so much. Not just now, but lots of other shows that you have on. I'm just like really gurgling with laughter
Okay.
Because you're both so droll, you know, very very droll.
Well, I'm glad that you enjoy us.
And I heard that lady on the Juliana.
Yes, Juliana Forlano show.
She's
Forlano
show.
She's got two shows.
Yes, and she is sounds like the most caring, loving person, Juliana Forlano, I must say. And I watched something of hers on the internet, on YouTube, where she was interviewing women about their bras, and it was a bit strange how she was interviewing some young woman, like grown up, and she was with her father, and the father was shocked. She's asking about something like a bra. I mean, what's there to be shocked about? You know,
some people are
really
strange.
I'm trying to get used to American prudery after living many years.
I love that sentence.
That's a good phrase.
I'm trying to get used to American prudery.
That's how the British people think of us.
And sometimes it can be so annoying, man.
Yes.
American prudery.
And limiting and constraining.
Oh, yeah.
Bless you.
Anyway, please stop chiding Tom from the Bronx.
Okay, don't make fun of
that
Tom.
Was just
I
teasing.
Always make Tom. I always tease Tom. Tom calls to be teased.
I didn't quite understand.
Yes.
No wonder he doesn't take it seriously.
Of course not. He knows. I wouldn't take his call if I didn't like him.
Oh.
Same thing with that guy who butts in, you know. He wouldn't be here.
You know, Marilyn, I have to say, you are clearly a longtime listener and supporter of the station to give a little shout out there to Monroe. Even though you thought Tom is better than Monroe. But no, you've been listening a long time, and thank you for that.
Well, ever since I discovered the station after coming here in August 2008, I'm a big supporter of DAI. For 4 years, I was down there at Wall Street manning the phones during
the fun drive?
Fundraising time, yes, the fun drive.
Some would call that all the time.
Well, somebody said that WBAI stands for We Beg at Intervals, but that wasn't me.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with begging if people aren't giving willingly. You have to beg.
Hey, that's a T-shirt right there.
Okay.
That would explain a lot of the dating process.
Ooh. Ooh. See, she's spoken like an attractive woman. Attractive women, that's the perspective. These beggars. Get these beggars away from me. So, well, thank you for calling.
Yes, and thanks for taking my call. Your show is lovely. It's wonderful. It's not the same, but it's on par with Bob Fass's show. And I'm an addict, of his show.
Okay.
So keep on keeping us laughing and coming up with those hilarious odd news.
Yes, we have lots of odd news.
We need the laughter now.
Mm. We do.
Do you remember Nixon? Were you around during the time Nixon was around?
Of course. I was, I guess, the first year of high school or something when Watergate broke out. Yeah.
Mm. All right, well, we're going to play. We did a whole Nixon bit back in the day.
Your mixes are superb, man.
Oh, you like the music, all right? I'm glad.
Yes, superb. Right, you're masterful, man.
Well, thank you. Well, we hope
all right.
We're glad you enjoyed the show. And Leanne is on another show on Wednesdays at 5.
Hey, at 6.
And you had something else you want to plug there, didn't you? Huh? Since people are listening and saying they like you.
Well, no, it wasn't.
Whatever.
Stop it. It wasn't a...
Whatever.
It wasn't another radio show. I just have a comedy show coming up I wanted to let people know about on Saturday, March 28th. I'm going to be at the Clarion Theater with the Divorced Divas comedy show.
Divorced Divas?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm actually a little uncomfortable, but...
You don't want people to know that you're a divorced diva?
Well, it's not that. Well, I'm a diva, and I'm divorced. You just happen to put those things together. Mm-hmm. But, no, it's a wonderful show.
Do I feel guilty about being divorced?
Oddly enough, yes, I do.
Ah, now we're getting somewhere.
I do.
Talk to me.
It's you don't realize, well, maybe you should realize.
Well, I'm a divorced diva myself.
That marriage is creating family. And when you break up, it's not just boyfriend-girlfriend breaking up. You are breaking up family, whether you have kids or not. So
you feel like you failed at something.
I feel like I failed at something. I feel like I let, friends and family down. I let myself down. I'm not a horrible human being.
Now, you let yourself down by leaving or by making the wrong choice to begin with?
You should be feeling
or outgrowing?
The guilt comes in causing another human being pain.
Are we in a fire drill?
I don't know what's happening.
Something's happening. We're blinking.
I think that's... let me text my special agent.
Does he know?
NSA
does
guy.
He know?
Well, he always plays a coy like he's not following and watching me, but I know he is.
But does he... How can he be watching you? Wait, hold on. Well, this is something's going on here.
Are you playing music?
Is there a red thing going on?
Our in-studio fire light is flashing.
There's a fire light flashing.
Yeah, you got a fire alarm going on in the building.
Yeah, we do.
Interesting. And two of the cameras are out.
I love night shift. I don't want to burn to death.
Like, you see, look at the monitor. There's like 12 cameras. Two of them are out. Now, I don't see flames in any of the cameras.
I think I saw this in Terminator 2.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's in the movie. It's like now we see an alien running down the hallway.
What happened in Terminator 2?
And we should get out of here.
In the early first 20 minutes of the movie, you see the cameras in the mental prison where Sarah Connor is being held.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and she, as she's escaping, she's whacking out the cameras on the way.
This is a first.
So you think Sarah Connor
going on in the studio?
Yeah, and the other studio that we're looking at, they're just acting like, ain't no thing.
Yeah, but they're kids. They don't, they can, if something's going down, they can actually run faster.
Oh, this is not true. I've been practicing. I've been going to the gym.
You've been going, really?
Yes. Yes. I'm now.
Do you have a trainer or are you just going?
Well, I have a friend who's a trainer who gave me a routine.
Okay, that's awesome. And you're doing it? How many days a week?
It's supposed to be three. Sometimes it's two, but three.
And do you feel guilty when it's not three?
I feel guilty. Yes, I do. I should be there.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Look.
Be more supportive, Chris.
I see an alien.
No, good luck with that. You have to go, like, every day. Like, 5 days a week.
You know, it's funny. The people that tell me that they are successful with it are the ones that almost turn it into a religion.
No, it's not just religion, it's part of your life.
Yeah, you have to. I don't agree with the 7 days a week because to me that's not realistic, but you have to make the room for it in your life.
You know, let's put it this way.
Because
when
it drops out, then it's like, well, how did this fit in at all?
Right. And if you don't have a lot going on, you got no excuse.
That's not true. You just gave yourself an excuse. I have a lot going on. I have an excuse.
I'm just saying there's no excuse.
It's what's important. We always have time for what's important. Like, somehow I find time to watch back episodes of Futurama on Netflix. How is that possible?
But I want to get back to more about you and your therapist. That was very interesting.
I don't even know why that's interesting. Out of that, hello? I didn't even bring that up.
Hello?
Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Tom, I know, the green
everybody
guy.
Everybody should have corned beef and cabbage tomorrow.
Thank you, Tom.
Should we?
That's because it's Irish. It's a traditional.
I was just going to find a little redheaded youngin' and go, come here, boy.
Ginger.
Come here, Ginger.
Ginger snap.
Mama got something for you.
The reason why is because, you see, you're a comedian, right? Your therapy should be your comedy. Like, you don't need therapy. You could get up there and just talk about your problems.
Wow, so you're just going to diagnose me and let me know what I need.
That's what I'm telling you, girl. I'm telling you what you need.
Well, you can't talk about everything on stage. You can only talk about stuff on stage when it becomes funny to you. Otherwise, now you're just selling Amway.
Well, come on. Tell us something that you're interested in. Tell me, I bet it's funny.
Don't you love when people, you know, I took...
I'm just ripping you, Leanne.
I took an intern once with me to a junket.
I was about to say,
And we met, like, this famous Oscar-winning comedy writer, wrote, like, two of Woody Allen's, like, most famous hits. And he says to him, all right, tell me a joke.
No.
Yes, he did. And you know what? He had a joke for him.
Wow.
I don't remember what the joke was, but it was a pretty funny joke. It was a quick joke.
Yeah, you should have a joke at the ready.
I have to imagine people say things like that to you. That's what I'm getting at.
It's an incredibly rude question.
People must say stuff like that to you.
Not anymore.
Well, it's sort of like going to a masseuse and go, really?
Well, you know what? They
massage my shoulder.
They know that it's rude, so they'll say it and go, ha, ha, ha. They don't mean it because they know it's bad. It's a really weird construct.
That's guilt.
Back to the subject of that.
I'll do a different version. I'll do the Nixon. But
you do the Nixon.
The Nixon.
Yeah, you guys do the Nixon. Put your hands up.
Everybody, put your hands up in the air
on
a peace sign
and real me.
Waggle your cheeks. All right, everybody at home, stand up, do the Nixon.
If you picture
hundreds, thousands of people are doing this.
I should sell the video, yes.
Do the Nixon. Well, I got to think of something Nixon would say. What would it be saying, though?
Let me make one thing perfectly clear.
One thing perfectly clear. I am not a crook.
Right here, do it here.
No, I'm done now. I like your version. Your version makes more sense.
Can you see the real me?
me. This would be so funny, the Nixon video.
Right, everybody, all right. But now, everybody now sort of go in the crouch. Get ready. Get ready. In the crouch. All right. Stand with the crouch. Your fingers outstretched in the peace symbol. Get ready. Cheeks. Get some air in them. Come on. All right, that part was, you were supposed to stand then. I didn't say it, but you were supposed to stand.
Man, I got a headache. It's too funny.
Do you have a headache? I'm out of energy now. I'm out of energy now. No! I will not perform for you. I will not perform for you.
It goes with the music.
I am not a blessing. Sound kind of like James Bond right in here.
Very, yeah.
Yes. I'll get you, Goldfinger.
Yeah, I was about to say very old school Bond. I seem to have had this conversation a couple times. Maybe what's it's that? in the ether. I would love to have my next James Bond be Idris Elba.
So you would hold Idris Elba as James Bond?
What? I would drop my current career and become an international thief. Just to get on James Bond's radar.
I understand.
I don't admit, he was great when he was in American Gangster.
When he was in what?
American Gangster. Wasn't he in American Gangster?
I don't know.
I remember him. I was introduced to him in The Wire. And then came across him again.
In Prometheus, wasn't he?
Yes, he was in Prometheus. Prometheus. He was.
He got shot by Denzel Washington on the street in American Gangster.
I wouldn't doubt it.
He's younger. He's right up against Denzel. He's got it. He should. He's definitely got it.
He's definitely got it. He was. He has his own BBC show. He's Luther. He's just like, I didn't know he was British because I was introduced to him in The Wire.
Changed it a little bit.
It deepens the love. It love? Extends the restraining order.
Deepens the love,
dude.
You know, speaking of deepens the love, I put together a CD of
Deepen the Love.
No, at the party music, you know, music that you have like at the party.
At the party.
If you had a party like in the '60s, you know, like in the movies.
I'm gonna have to imagine.
This is At the Party music. Hello, Joanne.
Is it a funeral?
Why don't you?
And everything you have to say.
Is it a party in the elevator or the dentist office?
Well, this is, you know, the beginning of the party. You're coming in, you're getting your cocktail.
Nobody's coming to this party.
All right. I'll go to the next track. This is part of the party music, too. Hello, Leanne.
This is a party that nobody gets invited to but one person.
It's a private party.
Right. And she walks in. I walk in and go, "Where is everybody?" And you're just twiggling your mustache.
I'm like,
all diabolical.
Like, you know, fantasy party, you know, it's in man like Flint.
All right, I got the next. This is the party starts to liven up a little bit.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me go to the next party.
I'm about to say we ain't live yet.
There you go. We're at the
walking
party.
In.
Yes.
Dropping my coat.
The party's happening.
Walking over to the bar, grabbing a glass of wine, scoping the scene.
Yeah, exactly. Scoping the scene. While you're scoping, someone's scoping you.
Always. Go Predator.
What in Predator? What?
It's always Jungle Predator. Somebody's hunting, somebody's laying in wait.
This is the laying in wait music.
Oh, yeah.
You're tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio. The name of the show.
Night Shift.
All right, I want to know more about wine. Yes, I do.
I thought you wanted to know about women doing the jail thing.
Oh, all right. Well, that's for Chris. Let's go for that one first. We'll go for that one first.
I think this is for everybody. This is interesting.
I thought for a second that Mike was going to say, I want to know more about women. That would be better.
Do you want to know more about women?
I know enough.
I know enough.
Oh.
Wow, that sounds a little cocky and a little bitter at the same
no
time.
No bitterness.
What does that mean? Like, I don't know.
Wow. Let's talk about that.
That's next week's show.
Talk about that.
So go ahead.
No, that's more interesting.
It really is more interesting because that was a deep statement, sir.
What makes you say that? What makes you say that, Mike?
You took the will.
Decades of life.
Yeah, some people learn from that, some people don't. Our next story.
Okay.
The headline.
You know what I am? I'm the button. I'm butting in. That's what I'm doing. I'm sorry. I'm just butting in.
Women's prison mass jailbreak. After inmates in dominatrix gear handcuff male guards, expecting mass orgy.
Damn. Go ahead.
All right.
This is an episode of the TV show.
It really is. And you know what? If somebody wrote this, it would be rejected. Because exactly. They would say, this would never happen.
Exactly.
And once again, exactly. Life is like science fiction. 28 inmates escaped from a Brazilian jail after three women in fantasy police costumes seduced prison wardens.
Mm.
Police found three...
Wearing dominatrix costumes, they seduced the wardens. Talk to me. Like, okay, dominatrixes walk into your prison, and you're just like, hello, may I help you?
Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Police found three wardens naked and handcuffed inside the Nova Mutum Public Jail near Cuiaba, Central Brazil.
Brazil.
The morning after the mass
Brazilian
breakout.
Women.
Brazilian women.
You know what?
I don't even know how Brazilian women get put in jail.
Listen.
Why don't they just stand there in the courtroom and just be sexy and like case
That's
dismissed?
Right. That's right.
Case dismissed.
Listen, if you can seduce the warden, what the judge is nothing. Go ahead.
All right. The women reportedly drugged the prison guards by giving them spiked whiskey after convincing them.
Now, hold on a second.
I don't even understand how you spiked whiskey.
A dominatrix walks in and hands you some whiskey, and you drink it.
Well, it was a little bit more, too.
All right. Now, please finish. I'm sorry.
All right. They drugged the prison guards by giving them spiked whiskey after convincing them to take part in an orgy, according to investigators. I'm sorry. Convince? I don't think that really was a difficult conversation.
That's the weakness of men. Go ahead.
Inmates then left the prison through the main doors.
Gosh, a rooty.
Even taking with them guns and munitions they had taken from prison.
This is a Sybil Danning
cachets.
Movie.
This is hilarious. I'm not just going to escape. I'm going to escape through the
Nowadays
front
they put
door.
Bridget Nielsen is in there.
Ooh. Is Bridget Nielsen still castable?
She was in that female version of Bridget. She married Stallone for a minute.
I remember.
Yeah, she was Red Sonja. She was in that. They did
Red Sonja. You did not go Red Sonja.
She did a female version of The Expendables. It was yes, just came out last year. But go ahead, finish, please.
Okay, police later found a bag of lingerie and dominatrix police uniforms believed to have been worn by the temptresses.
It's not a movie.
How do you not capitalize temptress?
A bag of lingerie.
A bag of.
That's how you open the film, with the bag of lingerie. And then the guy looks up, what do you think happened here? And then
you know what?
I would 3 days earlier.
I would love to see Columbo on that case.
Exactly. So you're saying... All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Last night photos of one of the naked wardens believed to have been leaked by amused police officers who found him had been shared thousands of times on social network sites.
Damn, that's some shaming right there.
Oh, a lot of guilt.
Social
lot
network. Of guilt. They had you drugged and raped on various social networks. Look, the fire is still going on. Like a third camera's
Mike,
out.
Is this the music for the party? Is that what
this is at the party music. Yes, it is. Hey, hey, Leanne, can I freshen up your
this
drink?
This is very swinger. This is I'm expecting Tony Bennett to walk into the party.
How you doing? We're in Vegas. Hey,
This is very, you know what this is? This is walking to the podium to make your acceptance speech at the Oscars.
All right, there it is.
Or to, you know, announce, you know, who the winners are.
Either that or stand by. We're experiencing technical difficulties.
Yes, that too.
Stand by. We're having a fire in the building.
Stand by. Exactly. All right, I'm sorry. This is more at the party than music.
Okay.
This is like the party's in full swing now.
This?
Yeah.
This is full swing. What party are you going to?
The kind of parties I like to throw.
It's like a funeral.
You know what this music is, don't you?
No.
Chris knows. Chris knows.
Okay.
I'm not paying any attention.
But you know what it is.
Hi.
All right, so go ahead, Mr. Guest.
Now I'm
Mystery Leanne.
Mystery Leanne. Well, yes, for many I am Mystery Leanne.
Mystery Leanne.
The three women, one of them reportedly the girlfriend of one of the prisoners who escaped.
Damn.
Arrived at the prison at 3 a.m. on Thursday morning.
Now, wait a minute. Is it no visiting hours? Just dominatrix can show up whenever they want?
That's the nature of being a dominatrix.
Okay. She's like, let me in. Visiting us. What did I say? Yes, ma'am. Yes, mistress.
Yes, mistress. Arrived at the prison at 3 a.m. on Thursday morning.
And demanded entrance.
Yes, and asked to be let inside to chat and drink.
Oh!
Hello. I would like to have a conversation over tea.
Exactly. Like,
not
what
exactly.
The hell? Are men that vulnerable?
Yes. Yes, you are.
Stop. Don't. Not all men.
Yeah, but the youngins, the youngins are still pretty dopey.
Yes.
Oh, they're so cute.
Yes. This is the roofie music.
They smell like placenta.
All right, go ahead.
All right, the prison guards reportedly obliged and were soon persuaded to leave their posts, according to the girls.
Damn.
To staff, they were going to be away at staff sleeping quarters.
Wait, this is a Flint movie. Operation,
this is a bad porno.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's awesome. After drugging the wardens, the women handcuffed them, took their keys, and unlocked all the prison's cells.
Oh, come on, that's a B movie. It's a Corman movie.
According to Chief Angelina de Andreas Ferreira.
Ferreira.
Now, you know, if women had been in charge of the prison, it might have went down a little different.
Come on. Now, you know how female wardens in a male prison.
Well, this was the police. I guess like she was the police people that showed up.
Low B movies, low grade people.
She told a news conference, quote, the plan was to seduce them.
Mm.
They had served them cheap whiskey.
They had a news conference
after. They had to.
Damn.
They served them cheap whiskey.
Join us.
Damn. Not even top shelf.
Hey. You don't need top shelf. Men don't care.
All right. The plan was to seduce them. They served them cheap whiskey with some substance to knock them out. Then unlocked the central gate, which accesses the internal cells.
And a plan like that could just work. It's amazing. It's like, oh my God.
You know, somebody was smoking something. They came up with this and started giggling.
They just
like this can't work. This can't work.
They knew it could work.
And some dude was like, yeah, Ma, that can work.
Damn. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Whoever wanted to escape left by the front door.
Damn, you got to give these women some credit, though.
Front door.
You know?
I love it.
Ironically, it takes balls to do that. Okay, go ahead.
So you would think. Apparently what it takes is tubes. Anyway, quote, from the moment
they... Let's bring that phrase in.
What?
She's got some tubes.
Well, I got a hell of a set of tubes. Ironically, inch for inch, my tubes beat whatever you got going on. Just saying. Hashtag.
And in the movie version, they're playing Lady Gaga loud in the background as they do this after they get drug all the men. I'm sorry, go ahead. Sorry.
I would love to see this movie. Do you really need it to be a full-length movie or just like a nice little short little 30-minute YouTube something?
Sci-fi channel movie. Go ahead, I'm with you.
Yeah, they make it cheap, though.
Well, it could be in the future.
From the moment they drank the whiskey, the agents didn't remember a thing. One was found dizzy.
From the moment they drank the whiskey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You said they got dizzy?
One was found dizzy, trying to wake up. Another slept the whole afternoon and couldn't even be questioned.
Domination, mistress.
I touch a booby.
Damn.
The inmates took 3 caliber rifles, 2 38 caliber revolvers, and munition.
Every man was down. Every man was down and had a drink with the dominatrixes. Wow.
Miss Ferreira said the escape...
The power of an attractive woman. That there's just no denying it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Miss Ferreira said the escape was planned by the boyfriend of one of the women, Bruno Amorim, 18, who was serving time for attempted murder, robbery, and firearms possession. She said, quote, everything indicated that he planned and executed everything with the help of his girlfriend. She said the 3 prison officers had been arrested and will be charged with facilitating a jailbreak and culpable embezzlement because of the theft of firearms. I love that phrase.
This is like a...
culpable embezzlement.
Culpable embezzlement of a firearm.
I don't think we
that's
have
like,
that here.
That's a Showtime movie. This is a Showtime movie.
You think this is Showtime?
Definitely. It's made for cable. You get... what's his name?
This is late night show. Time.
Lawnmower Man. Well, he's too old now.
What's his name from Lawnmower? Did you go to Lawnmower Man?
Well, you know, he used to do these kind of movies back in the day.
You know who he's talking about, right?
Sexy
Jeff
Boy.
Jeff Fahey. He would just.
Jeff Fahey. That's
Jeff
Fahey about.
And Sybil Danning. They, you know, like in the '80s, would have made this movie. All right, so go ahead. So, what was the final verdict there? How long were they out?
Well, last night, let me see. What's the slug line on this? Well, this is back in February, but at the time of this writing, it says last night, 8 of the 28 prisoners had been recaptured as police launched a massive operation to track down the fugitives. One inmate was found. I love this. One inmate was found wandering the center of Nova Mutum in a drunken state, holding one of the stolen rifles. She didn't need...
She staggered around drunk with a rifle
in her
hand.
She didn't deserve to be free.
No, well, she couldn't... you know, you don't drink your product.
I'm disgusted. She wasted her opportunity of freedom.
That's right. There's always that. That's the one played by... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Another was caught after stealing a pickup truck from a farm and crashing it.
All right, now we got to cast this. All right, I see... what's her name? From E.T., Drew Barrymore.
I did, too. I saw Drew Barrymore.
Okay. The young girl who gets drunk, who can't have... That's Selma... Liz? Selena Gomez.
Oh, I thought you meant Lindsay Lohan.
Well, no, Lindsay Lohan's definitely got to be in there. She's got to be in there.
Without a doubt.
I mean, she's in there. But you got to get some, you know, women of color, because it's in Brazil.
Oh, what about the one
Selma
who was
Hayek?
In... Yes.
Some hikes in there, definitely.
What about the one who was in the revenge movie? She was like the lead, really pretty.
Can you be a little more vague?
Well, she was in Predator 4, like Alien versus... Well, on the Predator planet, she was one of the mercenaries.
The black girl?
Yeah.
You mean Sanaa Lathan?
Yes.
Yeah, she could
well,
be
Well, not Sanaa.
Well, you can have the cast from Orange is the New Black. So, yeah, I'm with
I
you.
I haven't
I'm
seen Orange.
It doesn't matter. Like, you could see this movie, like, getting made. This could be a plot in Orange is the New Black. They all break out. So, Chris, is this mind-blowing or what?
It's crazy.
It's like, it's mind-blowing. It's just, so, and I love that they were given Viagra for the orgy. Did you get that part?
I know, I did. I didn't see
keep
that
going,
at
please,
all.
Please, please. Yes, it's Viagra.
It doesn't say that.
The title says it right there.
No, it doesn't.
What's the title? Read the title.
The title is Women's Prison Mass Jailbreak After Inmates in Dominatrix Gear Handcuff Male Guards Expecting Male Orgy. You don't have to invest
this is true.
In Viagra
at
all. It's just the promise of Nookie.
Mm-hmm. Is
and then why would you waste the money on the Viagra?
Risk their jobs. All right, you know, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry. You're right.
That was your fantasy, the Viagra.
Now I'm about to say.
I'm just saying. Okay.
I guess that's why you're going to the gym. I hear you, man. Work it out.
Yeah. Well, what about this statistic here? This disturbing statistic.
What?
She's got a disturbing disturbing statistic. This is new. Yes. Read this.
I'm a little offended.
Mm-hmm.
I don't appreciate you springing this on me.
I'm just saying. You got to read it.
Shock study shows 4 out of 5 women don't shower every day. I'm not trying to hear that, son.
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
See?
That's true. You were on the research team.
Well, he clearly has dealt with these women who are showering.
And how many is they?
Okay, I mean, how many of these people are young mothers who don't have time?
No. You read the article, I'll tell you.
How many
mothers
again?
Who don't have time.
Tell me the title again one more time. How
it says, shock study shows 4 out of 5 women don't shower every day.
4 out of 5 women.
And 2 out of 3 men don't either. See, that's what
at least they rotate the underwear. They turn it inside out. But
no, you can wear the underwear for 2 days.
No, you can't.
You can wear it for 2 days, and the clothes.
Two Earth days? No.
You gotta check clothes.
Okay, this is nasty.
Just let him. He's rambling. Nasty rambling.
All right. Survey lifts the lid on the bad habits of British females. Oh, thank goodness. British females also revealing 2/3 can't be bothered to remove makeup before bed. Oh, my word. How are they living?
On the edge.
This is pandemonium.
On the edge.
Well, dirty habits is a little statistic here. Only 21% of females take the time to shower or bathe every day. I can't even imagine.
Four out of five. That's what you're saying.
Four out of five.
I'm loving that. What is that? That
15 girls.
Are you thinking of Courageous Cat and Minnie Mouse?
Yes, thank you. Courageous Cat and Minnie Mouse. Yeah, did I just out myself?
Yes, you did.
No, shut up. I did not.
No, nobody knows.
I'm into TV history.
Okay.
Cat and Minnie Mouse. Dude, don't nobody know about that.
Nobody.
I lost my sexy voice.
Because
of Courageous Cat. Courageous Cat and Minnie Mouse. Oh, my.
Back to what Mike was saying about knowing women. He knows.
All right, go ahead, Leah.
All right. 4 out of 5 women admit they don't shower every day in a shocking new study. Mm. And 1/3 of British females also say they can go for 3 days without washing their body. Hello, British women.
This is not even France.
Stop it. That's stereotypical.
It's true, babe.
Bonjour. Also, 2/3 can't be bothered to remove makeup before they go to bed. And 1 in 8 own up not to brushing their teeth before they sleep. Oh, you nasty hoes. Did you just do a sound effect?
Yeah, that was like for the dragon breath in the morning. Good morning.
Well, that's going to happen anyway.
But if you don't brush your teeth, it's just extra.
It's going to be extra.
Extra funk.
Extra funk.
Extra funk.
That's the good name of a band.
Extra funk. Yeah. Extra funk. Extra funk. Yeah, funk is extra. Courageous Cat, Minute Mouse. Extra funk.
Courageous Cat in Minute Mouse.
Extra funk.
This is insane.
And you're listening to Listener Sponsored Radio. WBAI. Name of the show.
Nice shift.
We're going to compress time here in the last 13 minutes. We're going to compress time and get twice as much show in.
Wow.
In the last 13 minutes.
We're going to hop in the TARDIS. Oh, it's bigger on the inside.
Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello. Who's this?
Yeah, I wanted to talk to Michael Leanne.
You can speak to Michael Leanne, and that guy who butts in is also here with us. The guy.
You're Mike? Mike?
I'm Mike, and this is Leanne.
Okay, Mike.
Yes. And what's your name?
Where am I slowing on the territory? Shame.
Thank you for calling to do your. Yes, thank you. Minute Mouse.
That's the frog. Skin.
That's the frog. Yeah.
Yeah, that's froggy. Yeah.
Now,
Minute Mouse, he's finished.
Who is the frog based on?
Oh, come on.
Is that Cagney?
No, not Cagney.
Froggy.
Huh?
Oh, who's the frog based
froggy
on?
Froggy and Courageous Cat Minute Mouse.
Yeah, she's asking who's the frog based on. She doesn't know.
I don't know.
Edward G. Robinson.
Edward G. Robinson.
See, now that I wouldn't know.
And what was Edward G. Robinson's last film?
What was the last film?
Yes.
Oh, you know,
Rocky?
It have been, oh, I know what it was.
Talk to me.
It was Fitzwillie.
No.
With,
it was Soylent Green. Fitzwillie, I never saw, by the way. I'm interested in seeing. But no, it was Soylent Green with Charlton Heston. Oh, with
Soylent Green is Negroes.
We play, listen to me, we play Edward G. Robinson every week, just so you know.
You do?
Yes, we do.
Oh, wow. That's so, right.
We play him every week.
But, you know, I used to be able to play the theme to Courageous Cat on the piano.
Oh, now that. Do you have a piano near you?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. That is pretty cool.
In there, and then you do this other stuff in the right hand, and it's pretty cool. It's too late now.
Man, break it up.
But I can't play it at 3 a.m.
Break it up. Tell your neighbors to go to hell.
No, not now. No, I can't do that. Some other time.
Chicken.
I don't know.
Chicken.
I can't do it right now.
Chicken. Oh, I'm sorry.
But, yeah, you know, there's, like, the space run, and then there's this other stuff that goes on the right hand.
Yes.
And, yeah, Greatest Cat in there. So, like, I was really, when Leanne said that, that's what I was thinking about, Froggy. And all that stuff. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So how do you know about Greatest Cat in Minuteman?
Her parents told her.
Yeah, I read about it in school.
When you saw it in school? When you saw it in, like,
the history of cartoons.
The history of cartoons 101.
The history of cartoons 101. Where I learned about Penelope Pitstop. I'm going to kill a gorilla.
Do you remember Deputy Dog?
Deputy Dog, of course.
And Droopalong.
And no, it was Sheriff.
Deputy Dog. Now it's time to end the show, but we'll be back next week with a brand new
episode.
Who dropped the curtain on my toe bone? Remember that?
Oh,
Vaguely, babe. Vaguely.
Do you remember Diver Dan? You ever seen Diver Dan?
Don't.
I never really saw Diver Dan, but I know about Diver Dan.
Diver Dan was like... With,
it sounds like a drug that they would sell today. Have you got your prescription of Diver Dan?
Yeah, Diver Dan. You know, Diver Dan was like a tiger fish and barracuda.
And, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
That goes back. Diver
that
Dan
goes back.
Back.
How old are you, sir?
Bosco Bear?
No, but...
Bosco?
No.
You know about Bosco Bear?
No. It's a little before my time.
Bosco Bear?
I don't know Bosco Bear, but...
Bosco?
How old are you?
Bosco was?
No.
Bosco was the password.
Like, it was like a chocolate syrup. It was like Hershey syrup.
Yeah, that's what I remember. Bosco. It was Bosco,
and
yeah.
Bosco was...
That goes back a ways. Bosco Bear.
It does. Chris has Bosco at home.
But that was something that Leanne brought out, Courageous Cat. That was great.
She took you back.
That was great.
Leanne, you made a new fan.
Wow.
Why don't you give out your Twitter?
Well, actually, I didn't remember. You did. My website is veryfunnylady.com. And you can also find me by that handle on Twitter. But if you go to veryfunnylady.com, that will be your portal to all things me.
And if you want to hear more Night Shift, you can go to lifeislikesciencefiction.com. We got shows going back for over 8 years. You can hear all kinds of shows. Old shows, shows from back in the day because we've been on for over 2 decades. And you can email us at lifeislikesciencefiction@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at NITESHIFTZ. That's at NITESHIFTZ. And you can like us on Facebook, of course, NITESHIFT, Night Shift. You should like us because there are stories up there on the site that I couldn't even talk about here because it needs the visual. And you have to go to the site, go to the page. Chris, are you at the page? You want to tell people what are on the page? Are you on the Night Shift page?
I'm not on the page, but I can.
You like our.
I'm not on the page, but.
Why are you not on the page?
Because I'm not. So
Chris, why aren't we on the same page?
Bosco was the password to Joseph Costanza in Seinfeld.
Okay, I never saw
Seinfeld. Drizzle, drill. Yeah.
That was his.
Go home.
Password, Bosco.
That's funny. That's an old cartoon, too. See, I never watched Seinfeld, Chris, so you gotta forgive me there. Now, Leanne.
Yes.
Hello.
You have a final story?
I don't know. What's my final story?
Forget the story. Stop the story. Listen. So I wanted to ask you, Leanne. So what did you think of 50 Shades of Grey? Did you see it?
I did not.
Oh, you didn't see it.
I didn't, and my book club actually picked it as a book to read, and I got to be honest, I couldn't get past chapter two.
Yeah, I couldn't. Bad.
Yeah, you know what it is for me? Bad grammar is just not sexy.
I understand.
They got paid $250,000 each, plus a piece, and now they're asking for $40 million for the sequel. Each.
Listen, if you can command it, get it, because they won't always be able to do it.
We did that.
Mike, did you see it, 50 Shades of Grey?
I did.
What'd you think?
Oh, did you?
I did. I thought
you
it was
did? Wait a minute. When
better?
Did you see it?
Oh, like a couple weeks before it came out.
And I didn't get a phone call.
I had no idea you were even vaguely interested in seeing that movie.
Oh,
and don't
see,
even
you
front.
Got,
don't even front now. Don't even front. Ms.
I can
Ms.
tell. Lee. I can tell she was into checking it out. That's what I'm saying, you man. You got to get on the right page here.
Yeah, I got to get on the right page. So now. Leah.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, we didn't get to get into my healthcare story because we don't have time now to go into it.
That's a damn shame.
It is a damn shame. But what were we going to say? I have this story for you, too.
You want to do this one?
Well, either one. You can start.
Yeah, I'm going to pick the one with the bigger type.
Okay.
This hour, my reading ability diminishes. I don't know this one. Man buys girlfriend boob job for birthday, and she reacts in the worst way possible. By stabbing him in the throat?
Close.
Oh, I should read on?
Yes.
All right. Petite brunette Wen Ting, 24, was booked into her local cosmetic surgery by her partner, Wang Chen, but she was not happy at all. Gee, I wonder why.
Duh.
Good duh. Let's see. A thoughtful boyfriend who bought his partner a boob job as a surprise birthday present was left stunned by her response. Wang Chen, 26, booked slim brunette Wen Ting, 24, into a local cosmetic surgery clinic in Shenzhou, China. He thought she would be delighted with the big surprise. But when he revealed his intentions as he led her to the clinic, she flew into a rage. I can't even imagine why
she
would do that.
And he brought a friend with him and got the whole thing on video.
Wow. She supposedly punched him in the head, kicked him in the groin, and then dumped him. This is just surprising. Pao Li Wu, 25, who was supposed to take photos of the moment, said, Wang had asked me to capture his girlfriend's reaction when she showed her what he had bought her. I don't think he was expecting this, though. She went ballistic. Good for her. She started shouting that she had never been so insulted in her life, and that if he didn't like her breasts, he could F off.
Mm.
You go, boo. He apologized and said he thought they were lovely, but that he thought she would like bigger ones. No, he didn't think that. He didn't think she would like bigger ones. No, he did not.
You don't think?
No, I do not. At that point, she started hitting and kicking him and then landed one right in his gentleman's area. I love that phrase. In his gentleman's area.
Wow.
That's perfect.
That's just amazing. Then.
She was clearly furious and stormed off. I decided to stop taking photos as I realized this probably wasn't a moment he wanted captured.
That's a good friend.
No, he should have kept taking pictures. But that would have meant he was her friend.
Now, Chris, he had no guilt about this. What do you think? Do you think he was just a fool? Or what's your take on that?
Oh, wait a minute. Can I read the rest of this?
Yes,
this
please,
is stunning.
Please.
A stunned Wu later said, I really thought she would like the present. Now she says she doesn't want to be with me anymore. But I will come up with something to win her back. Do you hear that confidence?
A nose job.
Do you hear this confidence? I will come up with something to win her back.
Hey, you know.
You know what? I gotta. All right, son. Good luck with that. We're going to see you on night shift in a couple of weeks. Because you're going to do something else stupid.
Stop. Be nice.
Be nice? You going to ask me to be nice after he done some nonsense like that?
Some dumb nonsense. I will say that that is definitely some dumb nonsense. And I, you know, Chris?
You know, yes. That's kind of like, well,
what can you
like, the only correlation I could do is they, there was a United flight that was heading to Denver, and they, the passengers, the guy started yelling jihad, jihad, and they pummeled him and subdued him, and the flight went back. So, I don't know. It's bizarre.
All right, well, I don't know how you relate that, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the
connection
there.
It's interesting that you did. It's interesting that you tried. Uh-oh. I think we're on fire here or something.
We're on the show. The show is on fire.
The show is on fire. Well, I just want to say that you've been listening to Night Shift. I'm Mike Sargent. I'm here with Leanne Lord, Chris Taylor on the phone, and we're on every Monday from midnight till 3 a.m. Hopefully, we'll be back if there's not a fire here in the building. And you're tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. And like I said, you can like us on Facebook, N-I-T-E-S-H-I-F-T. And you can follow us and you can go back and download various shows for the last over 8 years on lifeislikesciencefiction.com. And Leanne, anything you want to add there?
Stop being guilty when you don't need to be.
And Chris, any final words for the listeners? You what? What'd you say, Chris?
No, I said I'm good. You're good.
Oh, then I'll take his. Veryfunnylady.com is where you find me, everybody.
There it is.